Hey, everybody. Rob here. Before we get to today's episode of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, want to remind everybody, football season is back. And if you're looking for a place to make your online wagers for all NFL and college football games, head on over to betonline.ag to take full advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. That's at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook expert. The sound you hear is that of a wheel of podcast ideas, which has told us that we need to talk about your lists of 10 things that are either going to be 10 or trash today on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. What do you think of that, Akiva?
I think I'm excited. I feel like we have only one place to go. And that is up.
That is up as we hit rock bottom, according to many of our listeners last week, when Rob and Akiva watched music videos last week.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've done like 210 podcasts together.
Yes.
And it was the first time we really ever got like real negative feedback.
Critically panned.
Panned, yes. Not acclaimed. We've heard of the sophomore slump. We didn't have it. But then the third episode, I guess the junior jinx we encountered.
Yeah, I tried to tell people you could just skip to the wheel spin, but people listened. And we got, it was a bloodbath out there on social media.
Yeah, people were mean. They hurt our feelings. But listen, it's not our fault. Like, the wheel picks what it picks. Like, some people want, you know, the wheel to pick their favorite idea or the one they picked. Like, it'll get there, but we cannot control. I guess we can control what's on the wheel. Maybe we shouldn't have put that on. But, like, we can't control what the wheel picks once it's there.
Okay, that feedback that we got from last week's show, will that be incorporated into today's podcast in any way?
No, the haters can go to hell. Like, we're not giving them anymore.
No, don't say that to the haters. You embolden them when you say that, Akiva.
I take it back. We love our haters. We love all of
we're
our listeners.
We're sorry to the haters.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna give them airtime and say like, here's what was wrong. Like, okay, the idea didn't work. We're not going to do it again.
Got
but
it. Message
there's
received.
15 ideas on the wheel.
Yes. Monday.com. We understand. We got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're going
Monday.com
to.
Monday.com sent us an email, by the way. They were upset to be associated with
Yes,
episode.
Please. Cease and desist.
They were so mad with their free advertising. Now they're demanding more free advertising.
Yeah. All right. So today we are going to be talking about what came up on the wheel, which was actually an Akiva original idea. 10
or trash. No, don't blame me if it's bad.
Oh, no, no,
I believe
no, no.
It was from a listener named Billy Gross.
Yes, 10 or bin, and you changed it to 10 or trash.
Yes. Billy did not send in any list, so he probably bailed on us after the music videos. Podcast.
Yeah. Okay. So, Akiva, can you explain how this is going to work today?
Yes. We asked for submissions. I said, send us your top 10 lists, just things that you maybe compiled the top 10 list of or funny top 10 lists you found on the internet. And we will pick the 10 best or just 10 interesting ones. We got hundreds of lists from people. Some people sent 50 lists. Some people sent one. We got lots of lists. And I just picked a random sampling of them. So if you sent a list that didn't get picked, that doesn't mean your list was bad. There was lots of good lists that didn't make it. Maybe there's some bad lists that did make it. But just wanted like a little bit of everything, some diversity. A lot of people sent in like, here's my top 10, you know, reality stars or my top 10 favorite sports teams. Like, that was too specific for us. But the more broad you went, like, if it's just it's something that interests you, then maybe it wouldn't interest all the listeners.
Okay. All right. So we have gotten how many lists?
Well, we got probably 300-400.
Oh, wow.
Because some people sent like 20 lists.
Yeah.
But I went through every list and I culled the list down to about 20, and they all have numbers. I send it to you,
mm-hmm.
and then I guess you'll pick a number, and then I will just read that list. And I think we will, each list, we will, if it's good, then what happens if it's good?
Then we will rank the lists at the end, the lists that are not trash.
The lists that are not trash. If it's bad, we throw it in the trash, never to be seen from again. And if it's good, then it makes the top 10.
Yeah.
Or it might be the top one. There might only be one good list.
Okay.
I don't know.
And then ultimately, the audience will decide whether this idea was spin or trash, whether it should go back onto the wheel or
back on the wheel or not.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so you want me to just pick from the Chinese menu of the lists?
Yes, every list has a number correlated. You pick a number, and then I will read whatever that list is.
All right, why don't we start with number... this is in no particular order, right?
No order, yeah.
Okay, let's go with number one from the curated list of 20.
Okay, so number one is a list from Futurism.com. I don't know what that is. And it's entitled 10 Things That Children Born in 2018 Will Never Experience.
Oh, wait, hold on. So this isn't even a list that was made up by one of our listeners?
Most of the lists were made up by our listeners. Three or four of the lists of the 20 that made it were found by our listeners.
Okay. And what listener found this list?
I think this was actually me.
Okay. Akiva, a nice young listener,
yes.
Akiva Winokur. Has
yes.
found this list of the top.
It might have been someone else, but I don't see a name.
Children
so
born in 2018 will never experience. I think that this is routinely posted on BuzzFeed as well. This type of thing. Okay, children born in 2018 will never experience what?
Okay, and if a list really sucks, then you can buzz it out, and then the list is just gone. Like we don't have to hear 10 through 1 if you're bored. Then you buzz it out. You could be the voice of the audience because you're not familiar what's on these lists.
Yeah, well, so can you, I guess, right? If you can get like, but you already said that these lists are not trash by getting to this
point. No, these lists could be trash. Some of them are trash. Some of them are good. It was just like, if they were super boring, I'd include them. But they could be exceptionally bad or good or funny or just, I don't know, something that caught my eye. Even the title sometimes was interesting.
Okay.
All right. So number 10, Futurism.com says long, boring travel. People born in 2018 will never experience that.
Okay, go ahead.
Mobile devices and in-flight entertainment systems have made it pretty easy to stay distracted during the course of a long trip. However, aside from the Concorde, which was decommissioned in 2003, humanity hasn't done nearly as much to increase the speed of air travel for international jet setters. But they're saying that supersonic planes are making a comeback and could ferry passengers across the pond in as few as 3.5 hours. I feel like I've been hearing this my whole life, yeah. And we're not even close to it yet.
I think this is fake news, but I think that there will always still be long, boring commutes and people will be, no matter how many things that you put in front of people, people will be bored. It's not like, oh my God, I'm so entertained. All right. So I sort of reject number 10, but keep going.
Yeah. Futurism.com could be a fake news website. I'm very unfamiliar with it.
Yes.
Number 9, driver's licenses. So this is something I've not heard before. So let's see why. Obtaining a driver's license is currently a rite of passage for teenagers as they make that transition from the end of childhood to the beginning of adulthood. By the time today's newborns are 16, self-driving cars may have already put an end to this unofficial ritual by completely removing the need for human operators of motor vehicles. According to the CDC, an average of 16s between the ages of 16 and 19 died every day in 2015 from injuries sustained in motor vehicle collisions. Elon Musk, CEO of Tesla, and he did
for
go
now.
On a podcast this week.
Yeah.
Do you think we could get him on a podcast?
Maybe.
We will not ask him to do drugs on the podcast. Maybe
no.
beforehand.
No.
So Elon is confident that his electric and currently semi-autonomous car manufacturing company will produce fully autonomous vehicles within the next 2 years, and several ride-hailing services are already testing self-driving vehicles. He's also very busy making like an underground tunnel to Dodger Stadium that could send like 50 fans per game to Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're following this. Really useful use of technology that Elon Musk is going to spend $1 billion making $50.
Okay, so yeah, I buy this. The self-driving cars. I think that in 18 years, I think that we may have that finally getting close to being ready. So yeah, okay, I'll buy that.
All right, I'm gonna skip 8 and 7 here. We because these have long explanations. Number 6. Humanity as a single planet species.
Why don't you just
species.
Say what they are? And
okay,
then...
fine. Because I'm also too dumb to understand some of them. 8 was biology's monopoly on intelligence.
Okay.
And then 7 was language barriers.
Okay. I mean, that
Not
makes sense.
Not a lot of hot takes there. Okay. Yeah. Number 6, humanity as a single planet species. So they say technology that improves human communication could radically impact our world, but eventually we may need to find a way to communicate with extraterrestrial species. Hopefully not E.T. himself, because as you know,
yeah,
I'm petrified
I know.
Of him. Someone said that someone tweeted at us this week that Chucky, the movie Chucky, was filmed in their hometown. And I would have moved out if Chucky was filmed in my hometown. I would have had to leave until they finished filming. Can you imagine going outside? I used to live in Manhattan, and like sometimes you'd go outside and there'd be like a note on all the parking poles, like the streetlights, like you can't park here from like on Thursday from 9 a.m. to noon because Boardwalk Empire is filming on this street or something.
Yeah.
Like, if I came outside and it said, like, the Chucky movie was filming, I would just flee. I would just, like, fly to, like, the furthest away place in the world.
Yeah.
Elon Musk is pushing his space exploration company, SpaceX, to develop the technology to put humans on Mars. He thinks he'll be able to get a crew to the Red Bull. All of these are literally relying on Elon Musk. He's like, he's one guy who is getting high on,
what was it, Joe Rogan podcast?
Joe Rogan podcast and just calling like random heroes from the, from the Thailand, cave soccer team, like pedophiles, like. He I'm not sure if he should be the only hope of humanity. He might be, but
6 months from now, he could be engaged to Ariana Grande. He's just like on a downward spiral, and we're not talking about how he's getting down to Dodger Stadium. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you go somewhere often if you could take like a subway that's probably nowhere near you to the stadium?
Sure. But I'm pretty sure that Elon Musk, I think, is being exposed as he doesn't actually have any ideas.
I think he's got lots of ideas. I think they're bad ideas. He has the most ideas of anyone in the world.
He might just be a crazy person.
He might. You're right. He might be a very smart, eccentric crazy person. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're rich enough, you're just eccentric.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God. What a genius. Oh, he's going to build a tunnel to Dodger Stadium.
I mean,
he
might be a genius, but like that's a horrible idea.
Yeah.
Like it would be cheaper if he just hired people to drive there.
Yeah. So this number six is saying that we're going to discover aliens in the next 18 years.
No. We're not going to. It's not that humans are going to be joined. It's we're going to be on multiple planets. We're not going to be a single planet species anymore.
OK, so we're going to have people on Mars by 2018.
It's going to be Earth and Mars. 2024, they're saying.
I'm out on that. I don't know.
You're betting the over.
Yeah.
If you could bet on this, then we would be betting the over.
Yeah. Hold that thought.
Hold that thought. All right. Quiet spaces. That's number four. Overpopulation is one of the factors that experts point to when they discuss the need for humanity to spread into the cosmos.
What was five?
I don't know. Let's not get bogged down in the numbers because they don't have numbers next to them. Experts are concerned that noise is quickly becoming the next great public health crisis. Data collected by the UN estimates that by the year 2100, 84% of the world's 10.8 billion citizens will live in cities surrounded by a smorgasbord of sound. The decline of the number of people who live in areas freely from noise pollution means many of the babies born today will never know what it's like to enjoy the sound of silence.
I am not buying that either.
Okay. No, neither am I. I think individually that gets an X. All right, that was five. Four, they said
nobody's ever going to stop talking. 2 o'clock in the morning, you wake up, everybody's still everybody's.
People are still going to live in towns. Like most people could live in cities, but like you think every town is just going to be overpopulated if you like move to like Fargo, North Dakota?
Yeah.
Four is world hunger. Not too much. That's funny there. Number three, paper currency. The advent of credit cards may have been the first blow to the utilization of cash, but wasn't the last. Today, paper currency must contend with PayPal, Venmo, Apple Pay, and a slew of other payment options. By the time children are born in 2018, are old enough to earn a paycheck, they will have access to even more payment options, and cash could be completely phased. I feel like I've been hearing that my whole life, too. No?
I could see it. I mean, I'm not so much feeling like that there were... Like, I think it will exist in some form. I don't know. We'll still have pennies, though.
Right. So far we're going to the moon. Everyone's going to speak the same language. We're going to Mars. No one will have any more quiet.
Yeah.
Then two is digital insecurity. It's just about hacking. Let's see number one. Number one has to be big, right? Because so far everything has been like
you would think
major.
So. Okay. Here, go ahead.
Major world, you know, like changing events, like flight in 3.5 hours. What could be the biggest of these 10, according to futurism.com? I hope you're holding on to your seat.
I'm holding on.
Number one, single screen computing.
What does that mean?
Most of our digital devices currently use a typical flat screen. Tomorrow's user interface will be far more dynamic, and children born in 2018 may not remember a time when they were limited to a single screen and a keyboard. The development of VR and AR have shifted the paradigm, and as these technologies grow, we will increasingly see the incorporation of new capabilities into our computing experience. Mm-hmm. I just think this is like, that's your one? That should be your 10. If you're making one of these lists, you got to go like, we're going to be on Mars as your big like gold medal winner.
Okay. All right, get ready. This list is trash. Throw it away.
Put it in the bin.
Put it in the bin. Because, you know what? Think back to, like, okay, oh, children born today, 18 years from now, it'd be a whole different world. But you know what? Think back to 18 years ago was 2000. And sure, yeah, there are many things that are different, but...
Well, I would say a lot of things have changed between 2000 and 2018.
Sure, but if somebody from the year 2000 showed up at your house, they would not be like, what alien world am I on? Oh, my God. Like, listen, there's going to be some things that you're going to have to, you know, brace them for. Okay. Mm-hmm. There will be a couple things, but you know, I think that within, you know, 4 or 5 hours, I think you can catch them up to speed.
I agree. We had cell phones. All right. So now the fact that maybe like, I like FaceTime, what would be the most amazing thing? Like the fact that Facebook, but you like, they would be amazed by Facebook and you'd be like, actually, it's like really lame. It's just like your aunt yelling about politics. It's not really cool.
And then it'll be like, oh, politics. Oh, Bush, Gore. Like, tell me about it. Like, well. Right.
Oh, you mean the glory days? what they call now the golden age?
Yeah, the quaint Bush, Gore stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. That list sucked. No offense, futurism.com, but I think you're all fake news.
Okay. All right. Futurism. All right.
What's the next number you're picking?
They should be banned from Twitter. That's it. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go from the future to the past. The top 10 best things from the 90s.
Okay, the top 10 best things from the 90s, and this list is coming from, this is number 16 on our list. This list is coming from @Hilarios. I think it's a listener named Megan.
Okay.
And I don't know what a couple of these things are. You were really around for the whole 90s. I was around, I mean, I was alive, but like I wasn't really like... with mm-hmm. like hip in the first couple of years, so maybe you could help me with what a couple of these things are.
And I blocked out a lot of the 90s, so
sure, we'll sure see. But combined I feel like we were there for every year.
We were there.
You were fine in like 90, 91, 92 when I was sort of in space. I didn't know what was going on. I was 9 years old.
Okay.
All right, number 10, Ecto Cooler High C. What is that?
So that was like a green drink that was sort of based on the slime from a Ghostbusters ghost. Now, the ghost from Ghostbusters, that didn't scare you, right?
No. No, I never saw the movie, but yeah. I was not afraid of Ghostbusters.
It was basically like some green high C that was probably made in conjunction with the second Ghostbusters film, which was more marketed as a family comedy. Like the first Ghostbusters, I think, was, you know, really geared more towards adults. And then the second when
because it was such a big hit, I think they realized like, oh, we need like families
I think
to come see this movie
really
now.
Really went all in with Ghostbusters 2, I think, as being more of family fair, and they mm-hmm. came out with Green High C, which continued to exist for many years past the popularity of the Ghostbusters theme. So I don't remember it tasting great, but okay, sure.
You know, I don't think High C was kosher when I was a kid. I think it might be now. I'm not sure. I don't really
do
drink
juice boxes now.
I think they do, or they have like stuff like it, but I don't think it was kosher when I was a kid, so I wasn't really involved in the high C world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had our own. There was like separate kosher juice boxes.
Yeah, I think my wife's head would explode before we gave our kids high C at this point.
I mean, they would probably be kicked out of their school if they brought any like juice box with like calories and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I do remember. Remember like being served in a can. I feel like that. I don't know if they still serve high C in like a giant aluminum can.
You mean like what about the punch thing where it's like the powder and then you put it in water?
I don't know if it came in that variety. I mean, that's Kool-Aid, but this would be like an aluminum cylinder of juice. Like, I feel like that you don't get that a lot now.
Uh-huh. No. All right. Number 9 is Tamagotchis. I was not a Tamagotchi guy. Were you a Tamagotchi guy?
No, neither was I. It seemed like a lot of work for the Tamagotchi.
Yeah, it is true. It is true.
You know, Pocket Pet, I think that's the translation. You have to feed it. You have to give it a shower. Seemed like a lot of work but, you know, as opposed to a real pet, I do think a Tamagotchi is the superior option.
You'd rather have a Tamagotchi than a real pet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. But I would rather have neither, to be honest. It's like, especially if you have 4 kids or you have 2 kids or whatever, it's like you don't want like another, it's just having another kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
I really am. I'm very impressed with people who have like multiple children and pets
mm-hmm.
because I feel like it really is another kid. It's at least half a kid And like, if you don't have children, it's easier to take care of the dog because the dog could be your priority, or a cat, whatever. But having kids and pets, I'm very impressed by people like that, because my kids ask for a pet every day and I'm the bad guy because my wife, like, they know my wife would say yes. But I'm just not ready for that kind of responsibility. Right. I'm still working on the parenting.
The benefit of the Tamagotchi is that you could take it places. So if you're traveling, mm-hmm. you could just take the Tamagotchi with you. You don't have to find boarding or anything for the Tamagotchi.
Yeah, a lot of these were online. Like, they had this, like, something pets, not pillow pets. There was, like, a, not Neopet. There was something that, like, my sister went to camp one summer, and my parents had to, like, feed their online animal every day. And they did it for, like, 60 days in a row, and I think they forgot, like, the last day and it died or something. No. Like, my parents are, like, grown-ups who had to, like, feed my sister's online. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Back in my day, my parents would have, like, laughed at me had I asked them, but now they're old and they're soft.
Yeah, the good thing about the Tamagotchi, a good way to incorporate, lessons of the circle of life into, a young person's life. That's sort of like an easy way to say, well, the Tamagotchi is dead now.
Every late 80s, early 90s sitcom had the episode where you had to take an egg home or some sort of fake baby mm-hmm. and like, take care of the baby.
Yeah.
Right. So like the Tamagotchi sort of replaced that. I don't think in real life it happened a lot. I think it was like a sitcom trope that didn't really happen in real life.
Yeah.
Like take home a baby, home ec class. Yeah. They gave you a baby to take home.
Yeah. And you take care of it. Okay. Now this Helios, did they make up this list or this is a list from somewhere else?
I think it's at Hilarios.
Hilarios.
It's her list. It's Megan's own list.
Okay.
So these are, I guess, things she misses from the 90s.
Okay.
Number 8 is Sock'em Boppers.
Okay.
That's like the rocket. You like you hit the thing. It's like rocket, pocket, poke. It's like one's a twist, one's a pull it, right? One's like a smash it.
Are you sure that's what this is?
No, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that's what Sock'em Boppers are. What do you think Sock'em Boppers are?
I don't know.
I also think, like, in general, you know which toy I'm talking about, though, like the pull it, twist
yeah.
it.
No, I think you are right. I think you're right.
Before, like, there were fun things, then that's what kids had to do.
Yeah. It's annoying things that made noise.
Yeah, and now, like, kids have a million options, and they don't do that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But now I'm looking, and I think Sock'em Boppers are punching bags. I thought it was, like, the twisting, pulling thing, but I'm Google imaging Sock'em Boppers, mm-hmm. and if you Google image them, I would not have guessed in 100 guesses what Sock'em Boppers are.
Yeah.
She had a very different 90s than we did. I don't remember this at all.
Okay, well, let's keep going.
Yeah, Sock'em Boppers. 7 is aim away messages.
That was the best?
Yeah, she liked aim away. I guess like that really, like you got to show your personality with aim away messages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Were you a big aim away message guy?
No, because I think that we did not really have access to the aim. I think in the mm-hmm. in the glory years, in the
got
like
it.
We got. What about I
when
think
you were
we got
in college?
Too late.
I bet aim was good. It was big when you were in college. No,
but I didn't have a computer, so that was really my parents would not get
Wait,
me.
So
a computer.
you did not have a computer in college.
Yeah, I did.
But what about like? Couldn't you go to the library or something?
Right, but I wouldn't be on Instant Messenger at the library.
Why? That's where everyone was when I was in college at the beginning. They were on AIM Instant Messenger in the library.
I think you're.
And most kids had their own computer by the time I was there.
Yeah, I did not have a laptop at any point during my college career.
Yeah. Interesting. It's funny because like a few years later, like you would have had to have one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like your teachers would have made you.
Yeah.
That era is only a few years, but it like completely changed technologically.
We had gotten like a family computer by like the mid 90s. And then, you know, I had access to it then. But I wouldn't like, you know, you had like 5 people using the computer. I didn't have like, you know, you'd be logged into, AOL and then be online. And then I didn't have my own computer until probably around like 2000.
Okay. All right, number 6, she says Minute Maid juice bars. I don't have much to say about that.
No.
Number 5, choose your own adventure books. Is that really specific to the 90s, Megan?
Yeah, I think that they had been around for quite a while.
I think maybe she was like a kid in the 90s, and that's like her parents would make her do on like,
road trips.
I think
they had a good run. The choose your own adventure books. Maybe that could be an idea for the wheel. We should write a choose your own adventure book.
Oh, we've gotten multiple suggestions that say we should do a choose your own adventure episode.
Oh, okay. So we get a book, we'll order it, and then you mm-hmm. and I will go through it.
Yeah, we've gotten multiple suggestions. Maybe I'll find one later. Maybe there's one for this week.
I like that.
Something near and dear to my heart, that's Pogs.
Yeah.
You were not a Pogs guy.
No.
We've discussed them on the Seinfeld podcast. I said this is kind of a sad story, but my grandfather, he was dying. The last thing he ever gave me was a Jets Pog Slammer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I was very into Pogs. It was weird because it was like licensed gambling in school, because you'd put up your Pogs against your friend's Pogs. So like Penny Farkas would just like win my Pogs, and then I would be mad. And my parents would come home like, what happened to your Pogs? Well, Penny Farkas got him. I was like, all right. So I think schools at some point caught on and realized it was gambling. And every school in the country basically like went from it being the most popular thing in October. By like January, every elementary school had banned them. And it went from when you passed by in the winter, if you wanted to buy Pogs, it was like $1 a Pog. And then it was the fastest fad in history. Within 6 months, it was like 100 Pogs for $1. You could have, they literally couldn't give them away anymore within 6 months. It was insane. Like if you had really timed that market right, you would have done very well. But some people probably were left with,
I don't know what happened.
They were left holding the bag. I don't know what happened to my leftover Pogs, but I would love to see them at some point. There was a lot of yin yang themes to the Pogs.
Yeah,
you're a couple years older than me. I don't think you would have been playing with Pogs.
No. And then what was the actual sport of gambling the Pog? It was like a tiddlywinks.
Sort of. So I would have Pogs, and you would have Pogs, and basically, I would put one of mine and one of yours, and then you'd use a slammer, which is what you sort of like knock the Pogs up and down with.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they'd be a stack of, let's say, two of mine, two of yours. So you'd slam it. It would be my turn. I'd slam it, and they'd go flying up in the air. And then whatever was face up was mine, and whatever wasn't ends up being yours.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the gambling aspect. So I guess, is that like tiddlywinks? A little bit, I guess. Like that you're sort of risking your Pogs against the other person's Pogs with every turn.
I guess so. I'm looking on the Google image search. I see an OJ Pog. Seemed like that was kind of popular thing.
I was a big OJ guy, so I would have loved an OJ Pog back then.
A lot of OJ Pogs.
That's funny. I wonder if he got into like the Pogs. I mean, I guess it was really the same year, because I remember the same guy I used to play Pogs with would come into class every day and say OJ's innocent. He was very big into OJ being innocent.
A lot of puns about the slammer and OJ not being in the slammer.
Sure.
Yeah.
Number three, she has rollerblades. And the only time I ever really felt like super cool when I was a little kid.
You're a big rollerblade guy, right?
Now, no, I don't. Obviously not. But in like second grade, I was a spoiled brat. Like I was the first kid to get rollerblades.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember feel like, oh, it was like a big deal. I got rollerblades. And then every kid went home that night and was like, well, Wienerker's got rollerblades. And he sucks. So like he can't be cooler than me. So like Ellie Schulman's coming the next day. He's got rollerblades.
Did you get them to play hockey or you got them?
No, see, roller hockey didn't even really exist. Like maybe there was roller skate hockey, but it took a while to go from to rollerblade hockey.
Mm-hmm.
So you were just rollerblading. Like I'd put them on and like rollerblade to my friend's house who lived a few blocks away.
Okay.
And in camp, you'd like rollerblade to the dining room. Rollerblading was really big in a time and place.
Okay.
Number two, she has Sega Genesis, which I don't agree with. I was a Nintendo family through and through growing up.
Yeah, we only had Nintendo. We went from Nintendo 8-bit to Super Nintendo to Nintendo 64.
64. Same here.
Nobody came out with the 32-bit system.
Right. It went straight from 16 to 64. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Nobody. Is it impossible? Could somebody have made a 32-bit system?
You still could. I bet you still could.
Was there a market there?
Do you have any nostalgia like they make these old Nintendo, like you could buy and play the Nintendo games?
Yeah.
No, not even the emulator. Those are online. Like they remade Nintendo, Super Nintendo. Now, because I was a sports game player mostly, and they don't have the license to like the players from 1993 or whatever, they didn't really make the sports versions. But would that interest you? Would you ever like buy a game, like show your kids, like, hey, here's Nintendo, and would they care?
Yeah, I think that I would be interested in like playing like Super Mario Brothers with my kids. I think
it would be fun. It's still that game, Super Mario Brothers in particular, still holds up.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Kart, if any of them have it, definitely. Like, I mean, they could play the new ones, but like that definitely holds up. I think that's a fun thing to play with your kids.
Yeah. Okay. And then
so far this has been like a pretty decent normal list, maybe Megan centric, but still. Mm-hmm. And number one, the main thing from the 90s, like no doubter, who would argue, blow up furniture. I have no idea what she's talking about.
Yeah. Blow up furniture, I don't think is great. But blow up furniture is not comfortable to sit in. It is also...
What is blow up furniture? Is it just like the plastic?
Yeah, like a plastic chair.
That's like you get them at like bar mitzvahs and then they break the first night or something.
Yeah, they break instantly. So no.
Instantly.
Blow up furniture.
And I was a beanbag guy. I had always had beanbag chairs in my room. Those at least would last like 6 months.
Yeah.
So, and then they'd spring a hole, and that would be a big mess.
Yeah, blow up furniture. I'm out.
Yeah, if she had said waterbeds, I would have said that's a better answer.
Are you a big waterbed guy?
I wasn't, but I feel like every unmarried aunt and uncle in the 90s owned a waterbed.
Okay. All right.
What are we doing with Megan's list?
I say we keep it.
Well, I'm a thing we have to throw in the trash because blow of furniture is such a bad number.
She blew
one.
It.
I did. I think she was on the way. Some of the first ones were weak, like Ecto Cooler High C. Like Pogs was a good, roll down memory lane, Rollerblade, Sega Genesis. I think she blew with the last one. Blow up furniture, blew up her list.
Blew it. Okay. All right. Sorry. Trash.
There may only be one good list, and that'll just be the list to rule them all.
One list to rule them all. Okay. How about, give me number 14 on the Chinese menu.
Okay. Chester sent in a bunch. Let's just do one of Chester's lists. Chester's sending in his top 10 vegetables.
Okay. Top 10 vegetables. Is this by taste? Is this by texture?
I mean, it's Chester's taste. Texture. Is Chester a big texture guy? I don't think he cares about texture. I'm a texture guy. My wife says she's an OT, and she says I have major sensory issues.
Okay.
And that, like, I only like certain feeling type of foods.
When you say she's an OT, what do you mean?
She's an occupational therapist.
Okay.
So they deal with sensory. She is retired. She has a rich husband who is the sole income earner in this house. But she is licensed to be an occupational therapist. She retired at the age of 27 because, again, rich husband. Number 10. Chester's 10th favorite vegetable, artichoke. My favorite vegetable. This is why I can't be friends with Chester.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute my favorite vegetable.
He has it too low.
One of my favorite foods. Yeah, I love artichokes. Are like my favorite food, basically.
What do you do with an artichoke?
We steam them, and then we sort of like dip. Have you ever eaten an artichoke? I feel like you haven't.
I don't seek them out.
Yeah, we steam them, and then we get like a sauce, which is sort of like mayo and lemon juice like you dip each piece in the sauce, and it's a weird food to eat because you scrape it with your teeth. There's sort of meat on every leaf, but it's a lot of work.
Okay.
But I love artichokes.
Nothing about what you're talking about is sounding appetizing to me.
Can you ask Nicole to steam artichokes for you once? I feel like it'll change your life.
Oh, yeah. But,
maybe she'll say no and then divorce you.
She's not really keen on me.
It's a healthy food. She likes vegetables. Say, I want to get more into vegetables.
She does not like vegetables. What do you know what vegetables she likes?
I mean, she's a healthy eater. She claims to be like into health stuff. She likes to work out.
She likes to work out. She does not really like to eat healthy.
Does she like fruits?
She just doesn't eat that much. Would she prefer Chester's fruit list? She just doesn't eat.
She's not an eater. Okay.
She will, if you put something that she likes, she's kind of a picky eater.
She's a picky eater. Okay.
Right. If you put something like,
can she miss a meal? Is she okay with missing a meal, or does she get hangry?
I have to remind her to eat a meal. It's very interesting.
Yeah,
if you brought a pizza home, she'd eat 9 slices.
Right.
But then it's like Nicole, did you eat breakfast today? You seem like you're a little hostile.
Hangry.
Did you eat lunch today?
Yeah.
Like, no, I forgot. Okay.
She's right. She's not like me, where my day revolves around, okay, what's like my next meal?
Right.
What's
I'm
the meal after
planner,
that?
I'm a planner. You know, if you don't put it down in front of her, she will not remember to eat.
Okay. Number 9, squash.
Okay.
That's kind of like, that's lame. 8, Max Dawson's favorite, kale.
Yeah. Oh. I don't know if we're going to get to 6 on this list.
Yeah. 7 is black olives, my least favorite food on earth.
Is that even a vegetable? I feel like that's more of a fruit.
You think olives are, he might not know what a vegetable is. He also has separate top 10 fruit lists. It would be funny if black olives was also on that.
Yeah.
6 is mushroom, which is technically a fungi.
Yeah.
You know who's not a fun guy? Chester. Number 5, sweet potato.
Yeah.
I detest sweet potatoes. 4 is onion. 3 and 2 are cherry and Campari tomatoes, which he puts in parentheses are technically a fruit. Then why, moron, are they on your top 10 vegetables list?
Yeah.
And number 1, the potato.
Boy.
I mean, he admits that potatoes are better than sweet potatoes, which is like a scientific fact. I agree with that.
Are olives vegetable or fruit? Answer, vegetable. Okay, so it's just...
Yeah, I honestly would have thought they're fruit.
This is a garbage list. I'm out.
Garbage
I'm out
list.
On Chester's
trash.
Top 10 vegetable list.
Okay. No more Chester lists. He also sent in his fruits. He sent in... Chester actually sent 10 top 10 lists. I only put a couple on the
You don't have to... Can you give us the 10 lists that Chester sent?
Yeah, well, the ones I made in the finalists are the vegetables, the fruits, and his top 10 SNL performers.
Mm-hmm.
Chester has ranked every
Are these hosts or these are actual?
No, the people. Any if you were like a regular on the show, then Chester has ranked every. I mean, I wish he had sent his whole list because he has everyone from like one to 120.
Yeah, I'd be interested in hearing the whole list. But okay, so
and he could send that back. All he's got Fruits, SNL performers, baseball players born in New York. I knew that would not interest anybody. Top 10 gangster movies.
Okay.
Top 10 U.S. state flags. I know we did something similar already. Top 10 Mets of all time. You want to guess who's number six?
I feel like he's already given us this list, right?
I know. Yeah. Top 10 Woody Allen movies. No idea why he went there. No idea. Vegetables. Top 10 30 for 30 documentaries. Very timely, Chester. Top 10 Sunnis. I have zero idea, again, other than the fact that you went to a SUNY school.
Yes.
Why he did that. Do you want to guess what number he ranked your SUNY school?
I don't think it made the top 10.
It did.
Oh, it did? Okay. Eight.
Yeah, SUNY Oswego 7, but he has Cornell, which he claims is technically a SUNY, but I don't think people count that.
Yeah, a lot of people refer to SUNY Cornell.
Yeah, what about FIT? He says FIT is a SUNY. I didn't know that either.
If you say so.
He's got Binghamton, Buffalo, Albany, FIT, Stony Brook, Oswego, Purchase, Downstate, and Plattsburgh. Plattsburgh's like Albany area, right?
I do think that Oswego has classed itself up since the days of when
post,
I attended.
In the post-Rob era.
Yes.
And then he ranked those 10 lists, and he claimed Fruits was number one, and the SUNYs, he admitted, was the worst list.
Okay. All right. Let's try to rebound. Okay, let's find something good. Why don't we go with number 10?
Okay. Number 10. Number 10 is sent to us from beloved listener Will from America.
Love Will from America.
And he did some work here. You know what Kidz Bop is?
Yes.
So Kidz Bop is basically like kids singing popular songs. Is that correct?
Oh, I thought it was like a thing for kids to punch each other that made noise.
No. That's the thing on Megan's list.
Oh, that's Sock 'em Bop.
That's Sock 'em Bop. Yeah. So Kidz Bop is kids music.
Yes.
And he put in, and what they do is they turn PG-13 or R-rated lyrics into rated G lyrics.
Right. They make popular songs available to the masses.
Right. And by the way, as one thing I've noticed as my kids have gotten older and can understand things, almost every popular song is absolutely filthy.
Mm-hmm.
Like 50% of popular songs are not the type of things like where I'd say I'm on the conservative side of like not letting my kids watch things until they're like a little older, you know?
Yeah.
Like I know in L.A. where you, and I'm talking about you in particular, but you'll listen to podcasts like Bill Simmons or somebody say things like, yeah, so me and like I couldn't believe like the scene that was on the Cinemax TV show last night that like my 7-year-old walked the room and was watching. Like, yeah, because you were watching Cinemax in front of your 7-year-old. Like anyway, so I'd say we're a little strict with things like that sometimes. But I never really noticed with music, but it's hard to control what music your kid listens to because like my daughter goes to gymnastics 8 nights a week and like they just play whatever like top 40 music is. So they come home. My 4-year-old son walks around all day saying, give it to me. I'm worth it. I'm worth it. Like it just like weird stuff that like they have no idea what they're talking about. But it's just like there's
can
innuendo.
Can I isolate
that
as a sound drop for the podcast?
You can. Okay. Sure. Sure. I'll get my 4-year-old in here to sing it if you want. He walks around screaming it all day.
Yeah.
He has no idea. It's just like his favorite part of the song. Anyway, so Will for America put in his 10 favorite Kidz Bop lyrics.
Of all
and
time.
I think they're pretty good. Yeah, of all time.
Okay, great.
So here's, and he's putting in some work here. Number 10, Kesha's TikTok. You know that song, right?
Yeah.
As a famous music hater, I think I have to ask you if you know the song.
Okay.
And one of these 10 songs, I'm going to ask you to mouth trumpet for us.
Okay.
All right. So the lyric is, before I leave, brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And Kidz Bop change it to, before I leave, brush my teeth, and then I go pack.
Okay.
All right. Icona Pop's I Love It is number 9. Do you know that song?
I don't know it.
I love it. It was like a big feature piece in a Girls. I don't know if you watch Girls in like a Girls episode.
No.
So it's I crashed my bridge into a car. I watched. I let it burn. And they changed it to you drove your car across the bridge. I watched. You let it turn. So I guess they don't want burning cars in Kidz Bop. One Republic's Counting Stars. I feel something so right by doing the wrong thing. And they change it to, I feel something so right by doing the right thing.
Okay.
That was funny. Yeah. Lady Gaga's Telephone, number 7, out in the club and I'm sipping that bub. And they change it to, out in the club and I'm eating that grub.
Why would you eat a grub out in the club? Is it like some sort of Survivor challenge?
I think grub like food. Like,
see, I'm so Survivor-centric. Eating,
yeah, you're so Survivor-centric that you assume grub is a disgusting bug that someone only eats when they're forced as opposed to like the old name for food.
Yes. Okay.
Trains Drive By. The lyric is, oh, but that one night was more than just right. And they changed it to, oh, but that one day was more than okay.
Okay. I mean, it's kind of the, you know, four quarters or a dollar, but okay, mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. Number five, Bruno Mars, The Lazy Song. I don't know if I know that song. Meet a really nice girl, have some really nice sex, and she's going to scream out, this is great. And they change it to, meet a really nice girl, send a really nice text.
Oh.
And she's going to write back, you're so great.
You're so great, yeah.
I think we would like being the people like who got to switch these lyrics. Would that be a good job for us?
Yeah, I think that would be a good job for us. And that's the song that today I don't feel like doing anything. I just want to stay in my bed. That song.
Yeah, I think I know it, but I just wasn't familiar with the title. All right, Nicki Minaj's Starships. I imagine they probably had to change a lot of lyrics in the Nicki Minaj songs. Mm-hmm. We're higher than Mother Effer changed to We're Kids Bopping, We're Taking Over. They really had to stretch.
They
there.
Really, yeah.
Big stretch.
Yeah.
Okay. Number three, Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe. Can we get a little bit of a mouth trumpet on Call Me Maybe? All right. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful. All right. Carly, I beg and borrow and steal. And they changed that lyric to I beg and borrow and feel. Because that makes a lot of sense.
That's
you
worse.
Beg, you borrow, and then you feel. Yeah. I think that is worse. Well, I mean, it's not worse, but I think it's not better. What should they have changed? I beg and borrow and steal to.
I beg and borrow. Well, first off, beg is not great. That's a bad
message.
You
think begging is bad?
I mean, it's not ideal.
Yeah. So what should they change that to?
I beg and
neg. What about neg? Like you're negging. That's
well,
probably
that's
bad also, right?
Yeah. Well, let's just, let's see. You could change steal to.
Wheel.
I mean, I guess it's a song. Nothing makes any sense. Deal.
All right.
Deal.
Beg, borrow, and deal.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's. I think that's like you're like buying and selling.
All right. Fair enough. Number two, Macklemore's Thrift Shop. Probably should have washed this. Smells like R. Kelly sheets. That's the lyric.
Mm.
That's not the Kidz Bop lyric. You can't have R. Kelly in Kidz Bop song. I don't think they even do R. Kelly songs. Probably in
probably
Kidz Bop.
Not. They had to delete and the ones they had.
Yes, change to probably should have washed this smells like my baseball cleats.
Okay.
That's pretty good. And number one, Macklemore's Can't Hold Us. He says,
what,
that's what you get.
Macklemore gets one and two on the list?
Listen, he's got a lot of filthy lyrics, I guess. Or maybe Will from America is a huge Macklemore fan.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Macklemore's Can't Hold Us. That's what you get when Wu-Tang raised you.
Okay. Why did they have to change
they
that?
Changed. Yeah, I don't know. They changed it to that's what you get when Kidz Bop raised you.
Okay, I guess.
That's insane.
Yeah, there you
are
go.
Are they worried that everyone's going to go out like, who's this Wu-Tang? Let me seek out their music and play it instead of Kidz Bop.
Yeah, what? Kidz Bop has been changing all of the Wu-Tang songs?
Yeah, like I wonder what Kidz Bop does when they get Wu-Tang songs, which, you know, definitely happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so all right. I think this is our best list so far.
This is our best list. I think he also put the work, and I think it's a funny, it may be funnier reading it, but I think it's a funny idea. From Will from America. All right, give me our next number, our fourth list out of 10.
Okay. Next list out of 10.
That is our fifth list, actually, because we forgot Chester. It was so forgettable, Chester's list.
All right, Akiva, what about number five on the list?
All right, so number five on the list is Ben L., listener Ben L., and he made his own top 10 most annoying fictional characters of the 21st century.
Okay. Now, I'm a little concerned that you or I may not know all of the characters on the list.
I think combined, we know most of them. There's probably some that only I know and some that only you know. Okay. But I think combined, we probably know like at least 8 or 9 of the 10.
All right. Great. All right.
And I thought fictional would be like cartoon characters, but it's just basically any character in a TV show or a movie that's not a documentary.
Okay.
Right. What would you think when you hear fictional characters?
That's what I would think. Why are the, is that not what this list is?
Well, I don't know. Like, I don't know. He has. Well, we'll see. Because number 10 is Pete Campbell from Mad Men.
OK.
I don't think of him as like a, is he a fictional character? Like he is fictional, but that's not what I would have thought of. You know,
well, what it,
when I'm thinking.
Yeah. Well, now I'm confused of what you thought it would be. I mean, do you think that Pete Campbell is
I'm
a real
dumb.
Person? Is he based on
he?
A, I mean, I don't think Mad Men is a true story.
No, it's not based on a true story, but I thought it would be more like Mickey Mouse. You know, I didn't think it would be, I don't know. That's not like a, is he, I guess he's a fictional character. Anyway, are you a Pete Campbell fan?
I think that Pete Campbell was especially annoying. He was like a love to hate kind of guy in the first couple seasons of Mad Men. But I do think that he was more endearing in the last couple of seasons. So I don't think that after watching all of Mad Men, I would agree that Pete Campbell, one of the top 10 most annoying characters of the
Well, maybe Ben L's still in the middle of Mad Men, because I'm still on season 2, episode 2, because I'm watching Mad Men with my wife, and we have not gotten past season 2, episode 1 since about 2009.
Yes.
And we never will at this point.
Okay. All right. Well, let's keep going.
Baby Bop from Barney is number 9. Very annoying. I would agree.
Yeah.
I think one of the better things that happened this century is Barney's really been taken out to the curb. Like, nobody really cares. Your kids even know who Barney is.
They're not interested.
Yeah, not interested at all. And my kids have never really seen it. Number 8, you're going to have to help me out here, Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, Anakin Skywalker. He should probably be higher because he was annoying, played by multiple actors between the first Anakin Skywalker, I believe, Jake Lloyd, I think.
So anybody who's Anakin Skywalker like immediately sucks. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, there hasn't been a good Anakin Skywalker.
How is he related to Luke Skywalker?
That he is his best friend.
Oh, so but Luke's a good guy, right?
He is, yeah.
No, okay.
No, I feel bad. You're the only person in the whole world that doesn't think that he is his father.
Oh, Anakin is like the Luke, I'm your father. I thought that's Darth Vader.
That they are one and the same.
Holy cow! Spoiler alert! I've never seen Star Wars. Oh my god. What is that? Why people like it? It sounds like a major twist.
Well, the first 3 movies were about Luke Skywalker, and then it was revealed Anakin Skywalker or Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker.
That's the twist to end the Star Wars trilogy.
No, it came 2/3 of the way through The Empire Strikes Back.
Is that the second movie?
Yes, and then okay. Darth Vader dies in Return of the Jedi, and then the first 3 movies sort of explore Anakin's fall to the dark side.
Got it. Oh, okay, so Anakin starts good and becomes bad. I don't even need to watch the movies now. I feel like I know everything about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Number 7, Todd from Breaking Bad.
Todd from Breaking Bad. I believe that is the Jesse Plemons character, Todd from Breaking Bad. I think that's a little bit of a stretch. Let's see. Todd, Breaking Bad. Yeah. I don't remember him being especially annoying.
All right. So number 6 is Janice from Friends. I'm not a Friends guy. I think you're a bigger Friends guy than me. Mm-hmm. I know who she is. She's like someone's sibling, I think.
No, she was Chandler's ex-girlfriend. She's supposed to be annoying. I mean, that's sort of like
that's her point.
Character
yeah.
of like that. That
I think mostly should be like people were supposed to like Baby Bop wasn't supposed to be annoying. She just sucked.
Right.
Or he just sucked. I don't know if Baby Bop was a guy or girl.
We don't know.
Number 5, Ben L. says Zoolander. I assume he means like the star, like Derek or whatever. What's Zoolander's first name? Is it Derek?
Derek Zoolander, sure. Yeah.
Now, Zoolander's like not really supposed to be annoying. That's a little bit of a hot take, I guess, that he's like very anti-Zoolander.
I think it's a little bit of a hot take. I think that Zoolander was remembered more fondly before they made a ill-conceived
100%.
Zoolander sequel.
Yeah.
That
the sequel
really
no one's going to care about. I agree. I thought the sequel hurts the original in hindsight.
So I don't know if Zoolander himself was annoying.
Yeah. Number 4, Jar Jar Binks. That's like the coldest take on Earth. Mm-hmm. And I don't know Star Wars as witnessed by number 8 when I didn't know that like Luke's father was Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that Jar Jar sucks. That's like,
I
think the guy who played Jar Jar like went to like clinical depression for years because people hated on him so much.
Yeah. This list is not helping.
Yeah, like you're Jar Jar shaming, Ben. Number 3, Andrea from The Walking Dead. You're a big Walking Dead guy, so you should have a take here.
Yeah.
Does she suck?
I mean, she was only on for a couple of seasons, spoiler alert. I think she was, I guess, mildly annoying, but, you know, I don't know if she'd make a top 10 list of most annoying characters from The Walking Dead.
Let alone in the history of the world.
Yeah.
Okay, now number 2 is a Harry Potter character. If I'm not mistaken, you have no familiarity with the Potterverse.
Yes, and based on your Hermione take last week.
I'm just sometimes I'm bad at pronouncing names. Like, you know what I do? I miss the easy ones and I'll get the hard ones. Like, I got like Kwiatkowski last week. That was a hard one. She was impressed with that.
Yes.
But I'll mess up the, you know what it is? If the name was an athlete, then I'll nail it, right? Because, like, I'll know from a previous sports reference.
Okay.
But if it's not, I'm bad. Anyway, so this number two, which we're going to have no frame of reference for, I famously read the first six Harry Potter books and haven't read the seventh yet, and have no intention to, is Professor Dolores Umbridge.
Okay, why are you out after six?
I think I just outgrew it a little bit. I wasn't, like, into it anymore. It was, like, years between books, I think, and it was never really my thing. You know what's weird? You know what's a weird fact?
What?
My dad is a rabbi.
That's not that
big
weird.
No, that's not so weird. Big Harry Potter fan. Has read every book, like, 10 times.
Oh. Okay.
Huge Harry Potter fan. You know what it was? When he started teaching, he was, like, a 20-year-old teacher, and he was, like, the cool guy, the cool rabbi. And then he got older and, like, he couldn't relate to whatever the kids were talking about. And they were talking about Harry Potter. And I guess he's like, oh, this is, like, a good way for me to, like, get in with them. And, like, you know, they'll, like, relate to them better. And so he got into them. But then, like, he got so into it, I'm sure they were like, oh, this nerd. Yeah, this, like, nerd has read every book 10 times. Like, and after a couple of years, no one cared anymore. But he's still in there.
Mm-hmm.
He's a rabbi. He doesn't really go to the movies. He has been to 8 movies in the last 30 years. It's like the 8 Harry Potter movies. Those are the only movies he's been to in the theater. Or watched at home in the last 30 years.
And we didn't even need Zach Brooks to guess what movie he's seen.
That's right. That's a deep cut for 32 fans listeners. Yeah, so Rabbi Wienerker, big Harry Potter fan. Ben L., not a big Dolores Umbridge fan, but I got no take on her. And number one, Ben L.'s least favorite, most annoying fictional character of the 21st century, Caillou.
Caillou?
Caillou does suck, but I feel like it sucks so much that no one cares about Caillou.
What is Caillou?
It's a kid's TV show, Caillou. You never seen it?
I don't think so. Caillou, how do you spell that?
C-A-I-L-L-O-U.
Oh, I would have pronounced
it's like
called
a PBS show.
Caillou.
No, it's definitely Caillou. The Wikipedia starts with pronounced Caillou.
Yeah, my kids don't watch
you
that
called
one.
It. No, neither do mine, but Caillou does suck. But still, like ice cold take from Ben. All right, what's the next list? That,
okay.
That list.
Trash.
That list. Yeah, sorry. So is any list not gone in the trash yet?
Yeah, Will from America.
Will from America, yeah. We're the hardest working man in podcast business.
Okay.
Give me some other lists
all
to
right.
read.
All right, let's do number 19.
All right, so that's the top 10 thoughtless things to avoid in your marriage. It was sent to us by patron Terry.
Yes.
She did not write it. She just liked the list.
These are things we would that are thoughtless that we should not do in a marriage.
Should not do.
Okay.
Should not do. And this list is from a website called goodmenproject.com.
Now,
I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
I have a feeling I have like a beat on this website, but we're going to read the list. I haven't read the full list. Let's see.
Yeah, what is,
I have a feel.
You have not been to the goodmenproject.com.
No, I spend most of my time on badmenproject.com.
Right. I suspect it is a website devoted to the works of John Goodman.
And John Goodman Project.
And his fans, the Goodmen.
So the Goodman stands are good men.
Yes. Yes.
Could be. It could be. I think it's more of like if I had to guess that there's like religious in nature, not this list, but I think it's like I'm going to guess it's like a Christian conservative type website, but I could be way off. Unfortunately, it like crashed my computer when this, neither
is
of us
that
could
what
get
happened?
The,
yeah.
No, I don't know. Maybe neither of us could get this website open for
okay.
Like a half hour.
All right.
So.
Well, okay. We could do the About the Good Men Project after we get the list. We don't want to,
okay.
You know,
number one,
fruit of the poisonous tree.
Yes. Number one, forgetting anniversaries.
Okay. I mean, that's...
Have you ever forgotten a birthday or an anniversary?
I don't know if I've ever forgotten my wife's birthday. The anniversary might be a little bit more like... You might wake up that morning and remember. But not really.
Yeah, me neither. I think we're good on number one. Number two, making appointments without checking in with your partner. The list writer says,
"Oh, I gotta live my life, right?"
I know this is a biggie. So this is a biggie, Rob, and usually happens in the early stages of a relationship. Though even after 17 years, this unknown author, whose name I do not have in front of me, still does. This person still married, and they act like a single person. Go figure. Typically because yes comes out of my mouth automatically when people ask me to do something, I can easily find myself agreeing to something without checking in with my partner. Now, like, is this person talking about, like, your fantasy football draft, or are they, like, asking permission to make doctor's appointments?
Either way, I mean, I can't record the Wiggle Room without checking in with my wife.
I think Nicole needs to sign off on the Wick. I mean, she is the VP of patron relations. Like, I feel like she should have a say in this. Do you share? Yeah. Like, you could do what Chester does and, like, share your calendar with her.
Yeah. And believe me, my wife is not running it past me before she's going out for a play date.
Wait, is this like a play date with her friends or is she is taking your children out?
I should
out
be
on
so
a play
lucky
date.
To get the heads up. Okay. This is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Number three. So far, I think we don't like number two. We disagree with number one. We don't forget the anniversaries. Buying expensive things without discussing with her. This is also a very heteronormative. First of all, it's like, here's what men are doing wrong to women. But listen, this is this website.
Mm-hmm.
Buying expensive things without discussing it with
her. Two-way
this
street.
Often happens when the person doing the buying is the major breadwinner in the marriage. Hashtag Uncle Kiwi. They think, this is my money and I could spend it any way I like. No, I do not think
a valid point.
Yeah. I have no access to the money in my house because I have a gambling problem. It would be bad. Number four, going out with the boys too frequently.
Okay, well, when that's an issue,
we're on the prowl looking for friends to like make number four happen.
Yes.
But so far, all right. Number five, expecting sex on demand. By the way, the person writing this list sounds like
demand?
An absolute.
What world are we living in?
And this guy's been married 17 years. The person who wrote this list sounds like a monster.
Yeah. Sex on demand. What a concept.
Yeah. Number six, forgetting to help out around the house. All right. We're coming down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Even this day of supposed equality between the sexes, this guy sounds like he's upset about the equality. Women still do the majority of the housework, even while working full time. I know you are not one of those guys, but if unsure, ask. That's all it takes. Your spouse will feel that you care enough to check in with her. Then help if she tells you what needs doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To score serious bonus points, Rob, do you want to score bonus points?
With my wife or with the author of this article?
Well, I think the author of this article can go to hell.
Yeah.
We're trying it with Nicole. To score bonus points, Rob, look for what needs doing and do it without being told.
Okay.
Whenever I do this, my partner feels loved.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Let me check that to see if I do something without being told to and see if my wife is going to have some recognition of my accomplishment. Let me see what happens there.
Okay. Number seven, the seventh most thoughtless thing you could do, watching way too many sports programs. Now, this person, I assume, wrote this list in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the last person to say too many sports programs was my grandma, who was born in the 1920s. Like, I don't know. Okay.
Okay.
So here's what he says. If you are a sports fan, this can be a major area for disagreement. This is similar to time out with the boys. Indeed, watching sports and being with the boys may be one and the same thing. I love watching sports, says our unknown author. I find it relaxing, in parentheses golf, exciting, in parentheses football, and connecting me, my friends, and the fans. What the hell? With cable, I could be watching the screen all day and night. Yeah, this new invention. Rob, have you heard about it? Cable.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hip to cable? Do you know about cable?
I've heard about it.
Okay. He makes it seem like it's a new thing. You should hear about the internet, this guy.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a problem. Of course, I don't do this unless I'm by myself sick at home, and then I indulge.
Yeah.
Maybe this is how we should be looking at sports, an indulgence. And like chocolate or ice cream, too much of a good thing can be dangerous. Learning that relationship health is better for us in the long run than instant gratification, but treating or indulging with awareness is not a sentence, and with an eye to a balanced diet that will make everyone happier in the end. So, Rob, do not watch too many, as the author puts it, sports programs.
Okay.
And I'll try and cut down from like 22 hours.
I'm not even sure I
want
to get
hours.
To the end of this list.
Okay. Number eight, being on the computer too much.
All right. Trash. So we're not going to make it. Sorry.
But just the last two, we're treating her only like a friend and forgetting she's your lover, too. I just find it gross when people say the word lover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And number 10, not treating her with respect. It should have also been 10-1. Yeah, this author, I'm glad we don't have his name because he sucks.
Okay.
All right. Give me something else. Give me another list.
Right
now, Will for America is the obvious winner, but we still have a few more lists to knock out.
All right. How about number seven?
Number seven. All right. Number seven is the top 10 people I would like to see have a career resurgence. So I think that's a good topic for a list, honestly.
Okay.
It's by Tender Taryn on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
There are so many Taryn alt accounts. It's insane.
This is iconic.
Is Taryn verified? I think he's not, right?
He's not yet.
I think he should be verified just because he's got so many imposters. Sometimes I think I'm talking to Taran, and then it's like Tender Taran or Robot Taran or Mr. Robot. There's
Torrance.
More fake Tarans. Yeah, there's more fake Tarans than almost anybody on Twitter at this point.
I mean, it's getting up there.
It's getting up there. Yeah. Anyway, number 10, Corey Feldman. He wants Corey Feldman to have a career resurgence.
He had a little bit of a moment when he was accusing somebody of... I think it was like in the Me Too, he was throwing out a lot of names from the Hollywood establishment. I think he started talking about crazy stuff again. So then I think it was people like,
I'm not super familiar with like Corey Feldman's oeuvre, so I don't know.
He's also a little problematic. I think that he has like a bunch of like Corey Feldman wives that are like basically like he has like a harem also. So, you know, I think people want to get behind him with the Me Too stuff, but then he has got
a harem.
Yeah, it's kind of nutty.
Oh, that does sound nutty. Number 9, Dave Chappelle. I got great news for Tender Taran.
Yeah.
He's had like 3 Netflix specials in the last year. What do you want him to have, 20?
He has some of his own controversies. Not everybody loved all of the subject matter from his Netflix specials.
I think he's... Chappelle is bulletproof.
He's back from the nadir of the Dave Chappelle
career. Good news, Tender Taran. All right. Number 8, Matthew Broderick. Do you think he shouldn't come back or do you think he is back?
No, I mean...
he's still married to Sarah Michelle Gellar, to Sarah Jessica Parker,
yeah,
right?
I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, he sort of, like, his career was, like, Ferris Bueller and being sort of, like, a boyish, young actor in these movies, and he's kind of gotten a little old.
Kiva's childhood correspondent, Andrew, works in the death business, in the funeral business.
Yes.
And he, like, one night he had to like stay in the funeral in a cemetery that his organization owns because Matthew Broderick was filming like a movie about somebody dying.
Mm.
So watch out for that movie that maybe 8 people will see, including my friend Andrew, who probably wants to like see the thing he spent the whole night in the cemetery for. By the way, even spookier than E.T. would be like spending a whole night in your car in the cemetery. No.
Yeah, because E.T. is not spooky.
That's a lie. E.T. is scary. If you're a little kid, E.T. is definitely scary. You're wrong.
No, he's not. He is a lovable figure.
I mean, he could be lovable and scary.
Not scary. And there's nothing scary about E.T.
All right. Oh, agree to disagree. All right. The next person on
I do think if Matthew Broderick wanted to be like on a sitcom, I think he could do it. But I just
He's still married to SJP, he's like insanely rich, right? That she is
right.
A crazy
he does
amount
a lot
of money.
Broadway. I think that.
I think he's like a serious actor. I agree. I think he is. He's fine. Like his life is fine without any of this stuff. 7, Billy Crystal.
I mean, how old is Billy Crystal now?
Yeah, I think his time is cut. And by the way, I think the opposite. I think he should have gone away sooner than he went away.
Yeah.
He hosted like 2 too many Oscars.
You could say that Billy Crystal should have been bigger, but...
Crystal's weird in that he was like famous enough to host the Oscars, but was never really like a movie star in the 90s when he was hosting them a lot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very talented. It could have been part of the first Saturday Night Live, and did have a big run in Saturday Night Live in I think it was 1985. Billy Crystal 70. What's the comeback that's happening?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and it's like old guy stuff that like he already does probably.
Mm-hmm.
Number 6, another old dude, Steve Martin. He wants Steve Martin to come back.
Steve Martin had a good run. He's never really went away.
Did you see his Netflix special with what's that guy that Lorne Michaels loves
Martin
but nobody
Short.
Else really
Martin.
Cares about? Yeah, like that was fine. I know people liked it, but it like to me it wasn't super exciting.
Yeah, Nicole, while we were watching, looking for things to find on Netflix, we were flipping through looking for something and we saw like the poster for the Steve Martin and Martin Short Netflix special, and Nicole said that should just be called Rich and Fancy. She felt that would have been a more appropriate name for Steve Martin and Martin Short, which really cracked me up in the moment.
Yeah, or just like the two old white Martin dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I would have gone with 2 amigos, but Catherine Zeta-Jones, This is a wacky list. I don't know that. Where has she been? You know,
now she's not like Hollywood does spit out actresses in their like mid, late 40s, 50s. She's 48. She's definitely like young enough to still have jobs. I think she's still married to Michael Douglas. So like, I don't know, you know, I don't know, like, their motivation to work. Like, they're also so like ludicrously
wealthy.
What
was the apex of the Catherine Zeta-Jones era?
It's a, like, what is it? She's probably like got like one Oscar nomination.
Chicago?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably Chicago. Like, what is her major, what are her like awards? I don't know. She, if Chicago, she got an Oscar nom, and then Traffic is probably her second biggest movie. Yeah. I really like Traffic. I think it's like, maybe the youth forget about that movie. Number four, Phoebe Cates.
Phoebe Cates. All right.
I think
keep going.
Rick Moranis is number three.
Oh, Rick Moranis is, that's right. I think his wife died and he doesn't want to be in,
really?
In acting anymore. But yeah.
Number two is Kid Rock.
Kid Rock. All right.
I think he's still around. And number one, John Cusack.
Yeah. I mean, John Cusack did have a little bit of a comeback with the Hot Tub Time Machine.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think Cusack is like still, he's only 52. Yeah. I feel like he's like very active on Twitter. I'm guessing without ever having seen Cusack's Twitter, he is very into the resistance. Would you agree?
I have no idea. I bet he's not super political.
I think he is. Oh yeah. I'm on his Twitter now. It's a lot of like Russia and retweeting Michael Avenatti. It's hardcore resistance stuff.
How did you know?
I'm pretty good with knowing which actors join the resistance. How many Twitter followers John Cusack?
Our favorite. I'll say 180,000.
No, Cusack's way bigger than you think. And also he has 54,000 tweets.
Wow,
he's not working Tender Terrence because he's only on Twitter.
Yeah.
1.62 million. So
I think it's a good move if you're not working that much, just jump on resistance Twitter.
Just tweet. Yeah. Just get a lot of retweets. It's very, if you put in very basic things like, this, you know, like this, you just, Michael Avenatti, one of these guys has a tweet, someone with a wave in their profile, and you just steal their thunder by writing this on top of it. And then you get like 8,000 retweets, 42,000
likes. Have you ever done a this tweet?
I'm not, but I think me and you should both strive. This week, we should each do a this tweet.
Okay.
Yeah. And we'll see who does. I mean, you know, yours will do better. But we'll see if either of us have success.
Maybe it'll be one of your tweets else's. That I'll say this.
Yeah. And can I this your tweet? We'll this each other's tweet if we have a tweet this
or
week.
We should be the first person to do a tweet that's that.
We could do a that. Yeah, we could maybe do a that. But that's sort of like a disagreement.
Yeah. All right.
We have three more lists to get to. So pick a list.
All right. We're really rolling.
That list in the trash, right?
That's
we only have one list.
Sorry.
To beat Will America.
Okay.
We are rolling.
Okay. What about number 11?
Millennial Max's top 10 overrated things.
Yeah.
So Millennial Max was a big listener to the Seinfeld podcast, and he's back with his top 10 most overrated things.
Well, he was on my list of top 10 listeners I wanted to see make a comeback.
Yeah, he really has been, he's been pretty quiet recently.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's still in college. Like, he's barely a Millennial Max. He's,
I met him at an airport one time.
You met him in an airport. I met him. He came to our live Seinfeld show. One time, Rob and I were going to do a live podcast, and he came in from Philly, New York, and I fell asleep, and the episode never happened. I still feel a little bad about that. I still owe Max something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, what happened was I woke up, and I was going to go into the city in Chester, went to the like DNC event. He's like, I didn't hear from you for an hour, so I took a train to go to like Philly for the DNC.
Chester went to the Democratic National Convention?
Yeah, it was like in 2016, like when Hillary was being something or other, I think. He's like, yeah, that's a fun thing to do.
Is Chester a superdelegate?
I could see Chester being a superdelegate, but I also think he's just like, he wants to like take a picture and show everyone that he's like, you know, he's there. He cares about politics. That's his thing.
Okay.
Number 10, Millennial Max's most overrated thing is Led Zeppelin. He says not even close to being in the same league as The Who, Beatles, Stones, and Jethro Tull. Now, which of these don't belong?
Jethro Tull?
Yeah, I think he's like, because The Who, The Beatles, The Stones, and Led Zeppelin might be like the four Mount Rushmore rock bands. Jethro Tull's not exactly like the number five.
Yeah, I think the main problem that Millennial Max is going to have with this take is I think that people that are, you know, way into the Led Zeppelin, the Beatles, the Stones are not going to really regard the opinions of Millennial Max.
Right. True. He was not alive during the Britney Spears era, let alone the Led Zeppelin era.
Right. Was not there for the heyday of Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, he is working with only what he knows. Number nine, Mad Max Fury Road. He says this movie was an overlong action movie with no dialogue, character, interesting plot. I agree, it sucked. Yeah, I hated Mad Max Fury Road.
I did not see it, but I remember famously your take about that when it was nominated for Best Picture.
Number eight, he says Lobster. He says it's only good because it's literally dipped in butter, and anything would be good if dipped in butter.
Yeah, not an unoriginal take, but I hear that.
And it's much like Star Wars. You're on your own because, of course, I've never had lobster. Right. I can't even imagine what it tastes like. I don't even have a guess.
Okay.
He says Bill Belichick as a GM. He said he's the GOAT coach, but arguably pretty bad at drafting. I think that's reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They really suck at getting receivers in there, the Patriots.
So far, not a bad list.
Not a bad list, actually. Number six, he says ketchup. Fries are delicious. Don't sully them with the sickeningly sweet ketchup.
You're
mustard,
losing
on the
me.
Other hand.
You're losing me, Millennial Max.
A plus. I did once get kicked out of the summer camp dining room because my friend Menachem Zomber hates ketchup, is scared of it, like much more scared of ketchup.
Menachem
touching
is
his food.
Scared of ketchup.
Menachem was scared of ketchup.
What's scarier, and ketchup or E.T.?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Menachem was much more
can't
frightened
spell
of ketchup,
ketchup without
on his
E.T.
plate.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, it was worth it for the people who listen just for that. Much more scared of ketchup than I was of like the Chucky doll. And so, and the counselors were well aware of this. So one time I thought it'd be funny, like sneak ketchup on his plate. He was very mad at me and I got kicked out of the dining room.
I mean, scared of ketchup is like, he needs to be institutionalized.
You're throwing shade at Menachem Zomber?
I am. I mean, ketchup is not a scary thing. Like, E.T. is like, haha, you know, E.T. is not scary.
Listen, everyone has like a thing. My dad always says everyone has a shtick. Like, everyone has one thing that's like weird about them,
so
at least.
I don't like ketchup.
That's his weirdest
ketchup
thing.
Is gross, but I'm scared of ketchup.
Listen, he wasn't scared. Like, he just didn't want to go anywhere near it. He was horrified by the idea of it. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want it. Like, it was allowed to be on the table that we were eating on, but, like, he couldn't let it anywhere near his plate.
Okay.
I think he ate pizza, though, which was kind of BS.
Yeah.
Number five, Wes Anderson. He says, we get it. You like bright colors and quirky characters. I agree.
I hear that.
I think
one.
Wes Anderson sucks.
Okay.
Four, the TV show Friends. He says the show, not the concept, but Rob can make an argument for both. Rob, are you anti having friends?
Well, I do think there's a little bit, you know, over it. I mean, if you are you know, able to enjoy your own company and you don't have a constant need to be entertained, you know, friends can be a little overrated.
Sure. Yeah,
you know, they're always having birthdays. They're always having, like, hey, come to my house. It's like time consuming.
The thing about the TV show Friends is I think you're just giving me what your idea of having friends is, by the way.
like and maybe you have the most awesome, hilarious friend ever. But yeah, I imagine, you know, that you have some replacement level friends. There's a lot of stories you're hearing that are just like,
it's true.
Okay, let's get on with it. You know, not every one of your friends is going to be Martin Short and Steve Martin. You know what I mean?
True. Yeah. The two Martins.
Yeah.
Number three. Millennium Max says Radiohead. He says, this band is just awful. Every song is such a downer and sound like a depressed teen Stone Ramblings. And you would know he was very recently, at least a teen. He might not have been depressed.
Better or worse than Jethro Tull?
We'll ask him for next episode. Radiohead versus Jethro Tull, the age-old question. Number two, Aaron Sorkin. In parentheses, not everyone needs to be a brilliant genius for a script to be smart enough already. Mm-hmm. I agree. Obviously, the show The Newsroom is probably the worst television show of the 21st century. That's not even a hot take. It sucks. Some of his stuff is good. Obviously, people talk way too fast and it's annoying.
Yeah, I know a lot of people love The West Wing, but I feel like that maybe outside of that.
The West Wing's good. I think it's like doing the West Wing in eight different places that annoys people.
Yeah. Okay. Studio City or Sunset Strip, Studio 54.
Yeah, Studio 60 on this. You know what? That show got canceled because it had a bad title. If that show was called like, you know, 40 Rock, it's still on the air.
Right. It took itself way too seriously for the
Saturday
Night
Live. That's what all his stuff does. Every episode of The Newsroom was like, we're solving world peace. It was stupid.
Okay. All right. And what is number one?
Number one, he says basketball. Maybe it's just because Bill Simmons talks about it when I want NFL coverage, but the sport doesn't have enough strategy. Sign the best player you're already in the finals. 81 games is ridiculous for a season. Wait till he finds out there's actually 82. Oy, quite overrated. Now, Rob, you're a sports fan who's not really a basketball guy.
Yeah.
Why?
I might say that maybe my father was not a big NBA guy. I used to follow the Knicks pretty closely. Like,
you think if the Knicks got good again, you might be able to get back on the bandwagon?
Perhaps. I mean, it's been a weird run for the Knicks where they've been terrible for 20 years. Really, if you had a baby born in the year 2000, among the things that baby would never learn is that
they
the Knicks
have one
were
planet,
a good team.
Right? One planet only, and the Knicks were a bad team.
That person from 2000 that came to your house, you told them, like, yeah, the Knicks still stink. They'd be like, oh, yeah, okay.
Makes sense.
I get it. So I have an odd experience, I guess, with being sort of like a Knicks fan that only rooted for them in the playoffs. At one point, I was like, I should get into the Nets. I was like, I like the Mets and the Jets. I should get into the Nets, but then I never really took.
I think you would like basketball. I think maybe, you know, I think our you know, esteemed relationship expert just told us not to watch too many sports programs, of course.
Yes.
But maybe if you could, like, waste some on basketball, it would
work. Yeah, I kind of feel a little FOMO during the playoffs. I do think that maybe the NBA regular season
You could skip that.
Overrated.
But you know what it is? It's hard not to have a team you care about. Like, you love baseball, but ultimately you love the Mets more than you love MLB, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
And probably the same with the Jets. You like football maybe a little more as a sport than baseball, possibly, but you like the Jets. I mean, I don't think you like the Mets more than the Jets, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
But I think you like football maybe more than baseball. Is that reasonable?
Yeah,
like
I follow.
If you were watching
sport.
A random game, you'd
I mean, I could tell you something about every single NFL team in terms of, like, I could only tell you about the Mets and a little bit about the Yankees.
Yeah. All right. And then honorable mention quickly says steak and eggs as a breakfast order. WTF with Marc Maron, The Crown, John Lennon, the movie Get Out, Steven Spielberg, Eli Manning, Ozzy Lust, and Woodrow Wilson. He wasn't even alive for the Eli Manning era, let alone the Woodrow Wilson era.
Second best list that we've gotten.
Yeah, they're very good. Excellent list. Put it in the 10, not in the trash.
Okay. All right.
Two more lists.
How about number four?
Okay, number four, the top 10 moments in RANAP, or some people are saying RAANAP, history so far. This is from listener Ben. He says,
these are the top 10 moments from the three podcasts that we have done.
Well, technically we did do five. I don't know if he's going to count them, but we did do like two, like, I guess they're like episodes -1 and 0 or something. I don't know where they work in the canon. But.
Okay.
He says, Todd Bowles' clock management.
Okay.
That was good.
Okay.
Ethan Zahn's message to Rob.
Okay.
The idea. Yeah. Okay. I sort of remember that.
Yeah.
The idea to make it a podcast that's truly about nothing.
Okay.
Akiva's closet nightmares. Yeah, that has been a big theme so far. It's funny because that never came up on 180 episodes of Seinfeld. Yeah,
the big three, the Holy Trinity, E.T., Marvin Harry from Home Alone, and Chucky.
But you're forgetting about Edward Scissorhands, who I really don't like. He was under the bed, I think.
The Mount Rushmore of Akiva's closet.
I'm going to go, now I'm going to be in my parents', like, my childhood bedroom in a few weeks, and I'm going to be, like, scared of them again. I'm going to, like, need to leave the lights on when I go to sleep. The Taylor Cotter falling asleep running joke. I believe she has long since fallen asleep today.
I think she's unsubscribed.
Yeah, she, you know, a lot of people did at her on. I think, by the way, you know, not to say that this podcast has a lot of juice right now, but like she's gotten a lot of followers, she said, from the podcast, from people wanting to know when she falls asleep. The addition of the ping pong ball season 3, episode 7 mechanism.
Okay,
they like that.
Yeah.
Shut Up Tim's terrible songs. They are indeed bad.
That's a big sleeper.
Yeah. Rob's story of the sunglasses and iPhone charger thief.
Yeah.
Akiva's wheel showing different results than Rob's. That's not that great, but he liked it.
Okay.
And then his number one is telling the listeners not to go back and listen to the music video segment.
Yeah, okay. A lot of people that listened to just the wheel spin thanked us for dodging a bullet.
Yeah, and they thought it was a great episode. They just listened to the wheel spin. People, no matter what, people always tune in for the wheel spin.
Yeah, I did get one piece of feedback that somebody said, I listened to just the wheel spin and I hated it.
That person can go to hell. Yeah. All right, so we have I'd say we have three more options here.
Okay.
Or four more, like, really good ones. So I'm going to throw them out and then you could pick one.
Okay.
The top 10 colors that food could be. I like that list. Mm-hmm. It's a person just ranking food colors.
Yeah.
The top 10 reasons that we should stop fooling around and just do season 3, episode 7 every week. That's by listener and saboteur Matt Gagan.
Yeah.
or the top 10 list from David Letterman, the top 10 things I learned on the Survivor Island from August 23rd, 2000.
Yeah, I'd like to hear the Matt Gagan list, because I think that that is the most, you know, relatable for most of the listeners.
Okay.
So this was a common criticism that I heard this past week was, hey, why don't you guys stop fooling around?
Just make
and just
the whole podcast out of the
every
black
week,
box, known as season 3,
including
episode 7.
One of our listeners that said the only reason why the first episode was good was because it was the best idea and you started with it. That's how you got all those 5-star reviews.
We thought that would be a disaster
on iTunes,
Perfect Strangers,
and that's the only good idea you've had. And that's and you.
What
why did you get a ban? Why did you get away from the only good idea?
Yeah. First of all, if you like football, the Madden podcast was better than the first episode. I'm sorry. If you don't like football, you have no reason to like it. I get it. Anyway, Matt Gagan, who sabotaged us by giving us the worst music video of all time last week as one of our music videos. The child needs a psychiatrist. Number 10, it's the best idea. Number 9, you guys are pros at that format. Number 8, plenty of options for TV shows. Number 7, hard to mess up. Number 6, Rob bought a fishbowl.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5, no one will complain. Number 4, limited homework. I would disagree. I would say episodes like this one had no homework, at least for Rob. Number 3, it's clearly your favorite idea. I don't agree with that. Number 2, it's going to eventually take up most spots on the wheel anyway. Well, then who cares? And then number 1, it's what I want.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I had seen that list on Twitter. I mean,
don't follow Matt, by the way, until he stops sabotaging the podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah,
look,
Matty Fresh 24 or whatever.
I mostly just wanted to say, okay, we hear you. We hear you people that are saying that. We'll see. Season 3, episode 7, getting a lot of hype because it hasn't been picked yet, I think.
Well, it has been. It got picked once.
Yes. But I think it was Perfect Strangers got picked, and then it just happened to be season 3. It was not.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. So that was
it. We made it bigger on the wheel.
Yeah.
I also think we made a mistake that, and now we're done with it. Is that in the 10 or the trash?
You can keep it. It's the third best list.
Okay. So the winner is Will from America. Silver medal is, Millennial Max, and bronze medal, Matt Gagan, the saboteur.
Okay, there you go. All right, Keev, one more thing before we get to our wheel spin.
Yes.
Okay. This is going to be a little bit of my own list that is going to be in conjunction with a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And I want to thank our friends. We have a new sponsor, betonline.ag. And I have to do this spot here because you're the only person that I do a podcast with that actually knows what the NFL is.
Yeah, it is weird. You'd think of the 30 people you do a podcast with, at least two of them would follow sports, but it's
just
really just
you.
Me.
It's just you, and that's great news because betonline.ag has a big promotion that they're doing with Podcast One, where they are inviting a number of Podcast One's smartest sports minds together to be in one league and pick 5 games a week here in September. So I have picked 5 games a week here that is part of a promotion that Podcast One is doing with betonline.ag, and they've got a great offer for Podcast One listeners. Use the promo code Podcast One, the number, and get a 50% sign up bonus when you sign up at betonline.ag. Okay, and so let me give you my 5 picks, and you tell me if my list of 5 picks for NFL Week 1 is good, is a 5 or trash.
Can you beat Shaq? Don't you think, looking back now, you're 11th grade, American history teacher would be so wrong about you if they found out one day you were going to be on a podcast gambling against Shaq?
Yeah. So they have standings that you can follow. If you click on the banner on the robisawebsite.com and go ahead and check it out, you can see all the other Podcast One hosts that I'm competing against. Adam Carolla, Bald Brian, Shaq, Ross Tucker. So a bunch of the brightest minds over at Podcast One are going to be matching wits with me every week, and to see who has the best picks every week. And if I win even a week, that you guys get the prize, because I will get to hand out a $100 credit to five of our listeners every week that I win the picks pool. Okay, you can go ahead and follow this on Twitter at Sportsnet Challenge for the Podcast One Sportsnet. Okay, here are my five week one games that I've picked for the first week. So I have four and then a best bet, Keeve.
Okay, in the league where they play for pay, right?
Yes. Okay, and you can follow all of this if you go to podcastonesportsnet.com, that they have all of the picks of all the different Podcast One hosts that are participating. All right, here are my five picks for the week, Keeve. All right, here's my list. Yeah. Okay, number five, I really like the Ravens to cover this weekend going against Mr. Peterman and the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I think it's a good pick. Nathan Peterman is horrendous, and until he shows us otherwise, you should bet against him every week.
Yeah, Ravens giving 7.5 points, but I feel very good about the Ravens D going up against Nathan Peterman. Okay, game number two. Tell me, was this a jinx to pick Sam Darnold and the Jets, Keeve, getting 6.5 in Detroit?
Yeah, 6.5 is a lot of points. Detroit has looked atrocious all summer. I think that's a total 6. You'd love, obviously, that spread to be 7, but that's a good bet, I think.
Okay. All right. Number three, I ended up going with the Carolina Panthers. They are hosting the Cowboys and giving 3 points.
The Cowboys suck. It's a good pick. I also have the Panthers all over the place. The Cowboys are just really bad right now, and the line's a mess.
So far, this is on track to be the best list of the week.
Yeah, so far. I mean, so far. Millennial Max and this one, yeah.
So far. Okay. The Cincinnati Bengals are going on the road to Indianapolis, and they are getting 2.5 points in Indianapolis. Give me the Bengals.
I like it. You're betting on the better team here. I think it's not that many points.
Okay, and then my lock of the week, Keeve. I don't know if you get more points if you get the lock of the week right. Mm. I am going to take that. I was surprised that this line was so low that the Los Angeles Rams are going to Oakland and they are only giving 4.5 points to the Raiders. I feel like that they're going to blow the Raiders out of the water. I took the Rams as my lock of the week.
Yeah, the Raiders, it seems like the locker room's reeling, and also this is just a bet against John Gruden, right?
Yeah, everybody hates John Gruden. John Gruden is being cyberbullied these days.
He really is. Like, if he wins week one, he's going to, like, tell his haters what to do.
Okay, so that is the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge. You can go ahead and follow that all week long. That is made possible by our friends over at betonline.ag. When you sign up, use the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% bonus today. Get in on all the action for college and NFL football. Don't wait any longer to make your online wagers and head over to betonline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Visit betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. Huge matchups to start the opening week in NFL football. Get in on the action today. Sign up at betonline.ag. Use promo code PODCAST1. That's podcast and the number one to receive that 50% bonus when you sign up. Take advantage of this incredible offer now at betonline.ag. That's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Plus, you could also bet on the Podcast One hosts right now. You could bet on me to win the Podcast One Sportsnet League at +1200, Keeve.
That's good. Are there only 12 bettors?
I think there's like 60. Yeah, there might only be 12.
So you have better than even odds. They're saying you're good right now.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. And then, for every week I win, I get to give out five. We'll have to come up with some sort of a mechanism if that ever happens, if I win the week.
And we'll figure out who, maybe the five listeners that are left.
Right.
We'll
and a $5,000 donation to charity of my choice if I win the Podcast One Sportsnet League for the season. So a lot riding on this.
Awesome.
All right. Keeve, are we ready to talk about what is going to be added to the wheel?
Let's get to the wheel. It's primarily because we finished last week without getting to a lot of the season 3, episode 7. It's a lot of TV ideas. But let's just get to a couple quickies for the wheel.
Okay. Couple of quickies for the wheel. Do we need to reset the wheel or we can do that at the end?
We'll do that right before we spin. Lee says, having listened to each episode so far, I'm currently confused by the premise of this podcast. I thought it was to eventually find an idea that will be a recurring podcast. If that's the case, why do you allow TV show suggestions on the wheel since you've already piloted the season 3, episode 7 idea and you don't want to do a full series because of not wanting a lot of perpetual preparation? Wouldn't further S3E7 shows, while I'd like to hear them, be contrary to the mission of finding a new idea since you've already tried that idea?
I think that if we did the podcast every single week about season 3, episode 7, we would quickly run out of interesting season 3, episode 7.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's fun because like every 4 or 5 weeks we do an S3E7 and people will like it. But I think if we did it every week, by episode 40, we'd be doing shows no one had ever heard of. And maybe it would run. Listen, the problem is the wheel has really screwed us so far. It's not our fault. Like, it's the wheel's
fault. Lady Luck has not been kind.
No. And listen, I think both of us have
a
veto.
Been very thoughtless in this relationship.
We have the, you know, like, sometimes a coach is, like, holding the red flag in football, ready to throw a challenge flag. I think that's what both of us are with the veto this week. Like, if we don't like the idea, we're vetoing it.
We need...
We really need
we're
a win.
On the ropes. We're on the ropes.
We are on the ropes.
This is like first year of Conan O'Brien territory.
It's true. Leo says, I'm looking forward to the dad cast. I'm still working my way through the Seinfeld podcast, but I've loved and 100% like agreed with everything you say. Your best takes are, number one, Akiva saying he revels when his wife is mad at someone else. And two, Rob saying he can't play tennis anymore because his wife doesn't approve of the fun aspect of this type of work exercise.
I'm not
the only person with these thoughts. You said that your wife doesn't like you playing tennis because it's fun and not exercise. It doesn't count as like working out to her.
It was the only reason I was playing tennis was to satisfy my wife's need for me to work out.
I don't know. Listen, we said a lot of things during 108 episodes. I don't even remember saying that.
I wish my wife was that vain, that she was that concerned about my physical appearance.
I think it's more like, what are you doing? Why aren't you helping out around the house? You're playing tennis. You're having fun. That's not exercise. Like if you're going to the gym, to the gym.
Okay.
Here, it's like you're playing tennis. It's like you're hanging out with your buddy. Mm-hmm. Assume you could find someone to play tennis.
Yes.
The one real idea for the wheel, and I think we're fine not adding too much stuff to the regular wheel this week. Shut Up Tim says his podcast idea is no bad ideas. Make a separate wheel with all the rejected podcast ideas, and Akiva and Rob are forced to attempt to randomly select a bad idea. This adds chaos to the current wheel and makes it more likely than not that a veto will be used. Don't give us more bad ideas.
Yeah,
Shut Up Tim.
Nope. If the feedback from last week was, boy, this idea didn't work, but I had so much fun anyway, then I would consider it.
Yeah.
Because I'd say, but now we feel a lot of pressure to only
people
bring
good
you guys
ideas.
Good ideas.
We weren't like sitting and talking about how bad Seinfeld was and people were having fun. Like we were talking about what we liked, what we didn't like, and they sort of enjoyed the journey, but they have to like be on board.
Yeah.
Let me throw some ping pong ball ideas at you. While we do that, I think Rob's and Akiva's choice also need to be added to the ping pong balls, right?
So what are we get to pick any ping pong ball out of the fishbowl?
Yeah, we get to pick an S3E7 episode or a TV show.
Okay.
Right? I think that makes sense. I think we said we would, but then we never added it as a ping pong ball.
Okay. So Rob or Akiva's choice.
Well, two balls, I think. One is Rob's choice, one's Akiva's, no? How are we going to decide whose choice is whose?
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
All right. Grace Leader says, I think you guys watching an early 1990s Royal Rumble would be fun. I think it would be fun. I think people are so hesitant to like hear us do sports or wrestling. Well, I think maybe what if we table that idea and maybe eventually come back to it?
Are we calling the Royal Rumble?
No, I don't. That would be fun, but I don't think so. Is it also like a live broadcast, or are we sort of like?
I mean, I feel like that us. Well, what's the difference between us calling it or we're just commenting on it? Like we're watching it live.
What
on
if
the
we
podcast?
Talk about it the same way we'd be talking about Perfect Strangers or Alf or whatever?
Okay, so we're like, all right, at 48 minutes.
Well, we don't have to say 48 minutes.
The 27th person will come into the ring. Here comes
saying, like, haha,
Tito.
That guy came in.
Tito Santana, Keith. Like, is it like a full recap of the Royal Rumble?
I think it's a recap. I mean, Grace, let us know exactly what you had in mind. We could add that next week. It's not a terrible idea. Jason Biquette wants us to watch Coach.
I think I kind of like the calling the Royal Rumble more so than the recap.
But how do we know who people are if we don't have audio?
We're not going to know. We watched the Royal Rumble from 1997. You're not going to know who the people are?
Well, she said early 90s, but... from 97, I would know.
I mean, I think everybody's going to be lower 30.
Sometimes they have these, like, one-hit wonder, Robs, where nobody knows who they are.
Yeah. I think that
You want to put it on the wheel? Put it on the wheel. That's put it in the on the ping pong ball, in the okay. sub wheel.
Wait, it's season three, episode seven of the Royal Rumble?
I guess.
You can't put things that aren't a season three, episode seven in the fishbowl.
I guess you're right. Yeah, that's a good point. But that's also like, it's good for the season three, episode seven, but it's right. almost like that's a
put
lot.
Put it into the waiting room, and if somebody can...
It's in the waiting room. We'll add it eventually. We need a couple of hits before we start adding risky things like that.
Yeah, but I think that would be fun to call a...
That is a good idea. I think if we just called it, I think it would be fun.
Like,
and also now
here comes the Keith. Who's this? That's the Brooklyn Brawler.
But now we're not going to hear any of the audio because we're just calling it.
Well, what do we need to hear?
We have to like guess what's going to happen. No, that's like, fine. But like, we're going to be a little confused.
The only thing I want to hear is the entrance music.
Yeah, we do. That's the problem. We won't hear any of the entrance music. Like mm-hmm. we won't hear like Stone Cold, like the glass breaking.
Okay. Yeah. We can put that in post.
Yeah, we could put that in. All right. Jason Biquette says, we should watch season three, episode seven of Coach. He says that episode is Hayden forsakes football with the guys to meet with Christine's antique dealer. Were you a Coach guy?
Not really.
Okay, me neither.
Yeah.
Patrick Recker says, Cheers was such a big part of Seinfeld's evolution. You should do an episode of Cheers. That episode is called Coach in Love.
More Coach stuff. More Coach. I think Everyone that coach. Cheers may be too beloved to be in there.
Too many Cheers stands out there.
Yeah, same, like it's not going to be a lot to make fun of. It's going to be like, oh, you guys didn't. There was a key moment between Sam and Diane in this episode that you guys missed.
Okay. John and Sarah Pearson had the same idea, which is season three, episode seven of The Simpsons, which is a Treehouse of Horror episode. Let me add something. So Albert Vargas writes in and he says that we should start planning RANAP Oktoberfest, a month-long push to celebrate all things spooky. Each week could be dedicated to one of the pillars that are Halloween, such as candy, music, movies,
Ketchup,
costumes,
E.T.
And monsters. That's right. Edward Scissorhands. You can share some of the more campy horror movies like Nightmare on Elm Street or even Creepshow. He says Creepshow was an anthology horror movie directed by George Romero and written by Stephen King. The fact that he had to explain that means like that he likes it and probably assumes right. that we won't know.
But we don't do like theme months on this.
Well,
show.
Here's what I'm going to explain. Yeah, and then he says you could add Tales from the Crypt, season three, episode seven, or other scary TV shows. Now it's not a crazy idea, but we have no say, Albert, over when this comes up. Now it is an interesting idea if for like the 3 weeks around Halloween we added like a Halloween movie to season three, episode seven. Or maybe to our movie cast idea. But if we added it this week, it comes up next week. We're out of season with Halloween.
Yeah.
We'd be having like a pumpkin spice latte in June. So should we table that and add that in October? Like a scary movie episode of some sort? When it's Halloween time?
I'm not a big Halloween guy.
Well, I'm literally not a Halloween guy. We don't celebrate Halloween. Mm-hmm. I do think it's a good idea. The problem is, like, with any of these things, like, do you think we're ever going to break canon and just like, hey, we have to do this themed episode next week? I don't think we can ever break the canon. I think once we're ruining our listeners' trust there.
I think if there's enough of a chorus for it, we could be talked into.
Is it a spooky chorus? Like from last week,
with the ghost,
private psychiatrist, with
that
the dancing
boy needs
ghost?
A Halloween special. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Paul Borges says, Carmen Sandiego's on the wheel. Why not do the episode with Akivia? I assume that's me. And Akivia's friend that was on. I assume he's still talking about me and doesn't know how to spell my name. And Eric Stein.
Mm-hmm.
Could we get Eric Stein to do his episode?
To come on and recap the episode of Wonder Woman's Carmen Sandiego? I mean, probably.
We probably would do it. The problem is that's not season three, episode seven, unless we got really lucky. Mm-hmm. I think
it would have to be a spin of the wheel.
What? For Carmen Sandiego to come up?
For Eric Stein, Carmen Sandiego. But we wouldn't know necessarily.
Is that a sub wheel of Carmen Sandiego episodes?
No,
that we have to
I
get
think
Eric
that
Stein
would
on?
Be on the main wheel.
If Carmen
Sandiego.
No, if Carmen Sandiego. Oh, because it's not season three, episode. Wow, we're so orthodox with the season three, episode seven. I like it. We really
That's how you like
rules.
It, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Eric. All right. Cool. Let's go quick hit season three, episode seven. And we'll get to the spin. Eric says, what about Party of Five? You guys have too many sitcoms. You need a cheesy drama.
I don't think that this is going to be a lot to make fun of. Party of Five. Kind of a sad show.
I've never seen it, to be honest. Garrett says add Twilight Zone and then add Antonio Mazzaro. Something about the Bizarro Zone. Yeah, I guess that's like the Bizarro Zone.
Do we know which Twilight Zone episode season three, episode seven?
He did not say what episode it is, Garrett.
You might be too scared with season three, episode seven.
I'm not that scared. Like, I was just scared of literally, like, the most famously scary things in the world. That's Marvin Harry. And then, like, E.T. and you know, Edward Scissorhands and stuff like that. Like, I'm not scared of everything.
Okay.
Again, this never came up before. I feel like I'm getting a bad rap. What is season three, episode seven of the show The Twilight Zone?
I'm not 100% sure, but...
The Grave, which, by the way, sounds very spooky.
I have it as this might be the... Oh, this was the 1985 Twilight Zone.
I have the one from 59. Okay. That's the right one, right?
Yeah.
It's called The Grave, and I don't know. That sounds scary. Should we do that? And would Antonio come? I think Antonio would join us.
I think I know. Let's see what that is.
Were you a Twilight Zone guy?
My dad used to make us watch it, I don't want to say made us watch it. It implies that I didn't like it, but yeah, they used to be New Year's Eve and 4th of July, like WPIX used to have like a marathon. So I saw most of them then.
Okay.
Yeah.
So should we add Twilight Zone or no?
No, I say no. It's not going to be funny.
Okay, fine. Mike C says Endurance, the kids' version of Survivor that aired in the mid-aughts.
How did we track those episodes down?
That might be hard to track down, but I think he leaves us a link, which is, you know, which is actually useful if you are sending us in something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he sends us a link. Is it a half-hour show? Because, yeah, it's a 21-minute link, but it's a pretty clear YouTube clip.
Do you have a strong feeling about that?
No, I don't remember it. So I have no feeling on it.
Yeah.
I'd say no for now. Okay, people really wanted to hear us do Endurance, write in and let us know. How about
that? Right. But Matt Gagan, there's a lot of Endurance, we're not counting his
love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than Mike C. Yeah. Mike C is going to make a lot of alt accounts and say, like, everyone loves Endurance. And lastly, well, shut up, Tim. I don't want to end with him. He says Beavis and Butthead.
It's interesting. There's music videos.
Oh, well, then forget it.
Is it Beloved? I don't know.
No, I don't think the Beavis and Butthead crazies will come after us.
Okay. What? How do you feel about that?
Nah, I don't. If you want to, I'm not going to object, but I wouldn't personally put it on.
I'm not dying
to talk about
Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. Or really to like bend to shut up Tim's will. And then Maggie Gibbons says, I have an odd suggestion for season three, episode seven. What about the iconic TV show Round the Twist? It would be hilarious to do. In short, it's a show about a family living in a lighthouse and weird stuff happens. Give it a look. I promise it won't disappoint.
Round the Twist. Have you
Round
ever
the twist.
Heard
now,
of-
let me say, episode three of this show was music videos. Critically panned. Episode four, I don't know how people are going to react to this one. The top 10 list. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have a better idea.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's going to be people's favorite episode, but maybe it'll be a bounce back from last week. What if episode five is the iconic Australian TV show that not one American's ever heard of called Round the Twist? At this point, our podcast is getting canceled. Like, we're on life support here, guys. We need ideas that are going to be rating smashes.
Yeah, we're on the ropes with Round the Twist. I don't know.
All right. Because we have a lot of Aussie listeners. If a lot of Aussie people say, like, trust me, it's gold, you guys will be able to find stuff to poke fun at. And by the way, Maggie, I don't believe, send us a link. Like, here, it's easy to find. Mm-hmm. Then I'm happy to come back. If, like, people whose opinion we trust, like Louis, say, like, listen, you guys are going to be able to spin this into, you know, a 10 out of 10. Then I think I'm open to it.
Mm.
But let's have other people come back. Let's see what the feedback is to some of these.
Okay. All right. So
it's wheel time.
Okay, Keev. So we're going to add two ping pong balls to the fishbowl, Rob's choice and Akiva's choice. So a ho-hum week. Nothing new added to the wheel.
Should we take something off the wheel?
All right, well, let me tell you what's on the wheel, and let's talk about what could potentially... 10 or trash, should that come off the wheel?
You know, it's off the wheel. It would have to come back on the wheel.
Okay, but it could be like a staple where, oh my God, that was so
I don't think it's a staple yet. Okay. I don't think it's a staple yet.
All right.
Let's see what the feedback is.
It needs to be re-added. Now, somebody needs to write
it. Re-added to the wheel. You don't just stay on the wheel forever other than season three, episode seven.
Okay. Here's what we have currently on the wheel. CSI New York. We're going to go through one episode of CSI New York and break it down segment by segment. Your tweets are trash. Dadcast, the Dad Know-It-Alls, 4/13/94. That's what we're going to examine thoroughly one day from the 90s. Seinfeld, the Wizard. Rob and Akiva have a PR department. Season 3, Episode 7, that's actually a double space on the wheel.
Yes.
We have the wife swap quiz where Akiva and myself will
People are into that one. I think people would be very excited for that
one. I know somebody who's not into that one.
Yeah, the one who's not going to respond to my quiz questions.
Yeah. kids' shows are trash. Rob's choice, Akiva's choice, Oregon Trail, and the rise and fall of JTT. Do we want to add Choose Your Own Adventure to the
No, I don't think so. Because I don't think I'll be happy if that's next week's episode.
Okay.
And I think that's what we should judge. Now, is there anything? You could take something off the wheel. Is there anything you want to take off? Because I have one thing I'd like to take
off. What is the one thing you want to take off?
I think Rob and Akiva have a PR firm is not a fleshed out enough idea to be on the wheel yet.
Okay, I'm with you. We could take that off. I was going to nominate your tweets are trash.
So here's the thing about your tweets are trash. I have a very specific idea for that episode. Would you like me to tell it to you and then you're going to edit it out of what we're saying?
Why? Why would I edit it out?
Well, because I want it to be a surprise. If you don't like it, we're just you'll leave this in and we'll take it out. But if you like it, you're going to edit it out because I want it to be a surprise when it happens.
I want to keep it in either way.
Okay. Well, then I'm not going to tell you.
Okay, all right, fine. And let's then.
But when the spin comes, here's the twist. If the spin comes, I'm going to tell you the idea. If you don't like the idea, we're going to pretend like that spin never happened and we're going to re-spin. Because that's my only idea for your tweets are trash.
Okay.
And I think it's good, but you might not like it. You'll understand when I say it.
No, here's the thing. I'm committed at this point. Even if I don't like it.
Fine. But you have to think of an idea if you don't like my idea. You have to top my idea.
Okay. No, we're going with your idea. We're going to go with your idea, but we're going to say it's your idea.
Oh, okay, fine. You might hate it. I already have a guest committed for that episode.
Okay. Is it Shut Up Tim?
No, it's much better than Shut Up Tim.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to keep that whole conversation in there.
Fine. Okay. That's fine. Now, we have cut from the wheel. If you're scoring at home, or even if you're alone, we have cut from the wheel. Rob and Akiva have a PR firm. We're going to put that in the wheel waiting room until we have more of a fleshed out idea for how that's going to work. Cause I think we need like direction right now. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are you with me?
I'm with you.
Are we in the same page? Yeah. I think we need, so Robin Akiva of a PR firm is in the wheel waiting room with the gambling idea, which I still think is a good idea. If we could figure out a way to like blow $1,000 or something.
Yeah.
We need more suggestions on that. A Seinfeld fan fiction. We just need to find the right fan fiction. I think that should go on when we find the right.
We're a baseball team. We've lost, you know, 4 or 5 games in a row, and we need an ace to send to the mound.
Absolutely. We need to send our DeGrom and lose 1-0 next week. Movie commentary. That's a good idea. We're just waiting on the right movie. In theory, that could be the Halloween stuff, but we're both anti-Halloween for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How was this podcast, by the way? Was this episode good, or are people not going to like it?
I have no idea. I don't even know what a good podcast is anymore after last week.
I don't know if people are going to like this one.
I have no idea. Who cares? This is for us.
Okay.
If they listen, great. If not, we're just having, we're just two friends talking.
Out there, it's their podcast.
I think it's for us.
Yeah.
The eBay idea where we buy each other stuff on eBay,
hard to pull
that's
off.
Not bad.
Hard to pull off. Are you giving us the waiting room ideas?
This is the waiting room, and then the TV. I'm just asking for people to sort of like tweak these ideas, and then the TV theme songs twist. So those are in the wheel rating room. I'd say the Royal Rumble podcast is also in the wheel rating room now.
Okay. All right.
Let's spin the wheel. I'm nervous.
Here we go.
I've got my veto. I don't know what I would veto. Is there something you're rooting for? Do you want to say what you're rooting for or no?
I don't want to jinx it.
Okay, fine.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's
go.
Let's, in the immortal words of KC.
Let's go.
All right, here we go. Here is this week's wheel spin. All right, around and around and around she goes. Slowing down, Keeve. Okay, here we go. So, Akiva, we are looking at 4/13/94.
Oh, boy. All right. So now we have to go in.
Get
we
your got an email. Spreadsheet ready.
Are you happy with that, with 4/13/94?
This was one of the ones I was looking forward to.
Okay, that's good. So now Paul, the Saints fan, by the way, the little 32 fans plug, that's my my sports podcast. I picked the Saints to win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
So Paul, the Saints fan, is very happy with us right now.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Saints over the Texans, went with a little bit of a hot take.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, the Saints fan, made us a randomizer. So I'm going to click it because I have it open, and it's going to randomize the day, the month, and the year.
Okay.
I also think if it's one of our listeners' birthday, I think they should be incorporated somehow. Not necessarily as a guest, but I feel like they should have to do
what
the work.
What if it's not the right year?
No. It's got to be. No, come on. It's, right. It's going to be somebody's. Yes, it's got to be the. Yeah, like, let's say it was like 9/26/83. Like, I would be involved in the podcast. That's my birthday.
Right. But if it's 9/26.
Then yeah. It has nothing to do with it. Then it's like, who cares that it's your birthday? You were 11. That's not interesting.
Okay.
I think it would be interesting if it was somebody. If it was the day,
yeah,
the day someone's born.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is like a one in a million shot that this is going to be.
Well, it's. I mean, listen. There's 365 days a year times 10. Yeah. Right. So that's 30. What's that? 3,600 days.
I mean, what do we have? 100 people listening to this podcast that were born in the 90s.
Please. There's. Oh, that were born in the 90s.
Yeah.
Tens of thousands.
Okay.
Tens of that. All right. You ready? Here's the date. Is there a day you're rooting for?
Like I'm rooting for the year. Late 90s more than the early 90s.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Me too. I'm also rooting for the late 90s. Cannot run the macro. The macro may not be available. Paul, what are you doing, Josh? Oh, here. I gotta disable
the
macro.
Is that macro on thegoodmen.com?
Okay. There we go. Are you ready?
Ready.
May 22nd, 1998.
Oh. Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is very close to the Seinfeld finale.
That might be the night of the Seinfeld finale.
I feel like we know a lot about what's going on that night. May 14th, 1998. So this is very much, we're picking up where we left off at the Seinfeld finale.
It was a Friday.
Yes. I think that the day Mike Piazza?
How about this? The day Mike Piazza was traded was a Friday because me, Andrew Parver, and the aforementioned Menachem Zomber were driving up to the country for the weekend to Andrew's parents' cabin in like Lake something.
This date in Mets history, May 22nd, 1998.
So we're literally picked one of the 10 best days of my life.
Okay.
Because
this is a good sign.
Yeah, that's a really good sign. Maybe we're out of our slump. Mike Piazza is a slump buster.
That's what we needed.
we did need this.
Yeah.
So that's the name of the episode. May 22nd, 1998. Is there anything, because I'm going to have to do the research for this, which is fine. Is there anything in particular you want to know? Like, how should we structure this? Is there anything you want to know?
What was the number one movie at the box office that weekend?
Well, that I think I'm going to be able to get you.
What was the number one song? What was the number one? Seinfeld's done. What's the number one TV show in the country? What's going on in current events?
I'm happy. It wasn't my number one choice, but it definitely wasn't at the bottom for me.
Yeah. You know, well,
and also the fun thing about this is if people love it, there are almost an infinite number of times we could re-put this on the wheel.
Yeah. Okay.
I do think people will be mad that season 3, episode 7 is really struggling. I almost think people are going to be calling for it to get a third spot on the wheel soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
And we could end with this. What would you have picked if you had Rob's choice?
Season 3, episode 7. I'm a man of the people.
Me too. Fine. Fine. Yeah, I know. That's what the people want.
Yeah.
People are excited about Wife Swap Quiz. I think that if Nicole actually answers my questions, I think that'll be a good episode.
Okay.
And my wife, like, I might end up divorced after that episode. Like, she says insane things about me.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. There you have it. Do we have a hashtag?
There you have it. Yeah. Thanks for nothing, Billy. Because Billy Gross sent us the list and then didn't really hook us up with some dynamite lists.
Okay. All right. Should we check with the iTunes store? Do you think that we lost our perfect 5-star rating?
Ooh, did somebody give us a rating of under 5 stars? Let's check. That's okay. A good question.
All right. Here we go. I don't think we got any new ratings since last week. I think
No, we definitely did.
That was the problem. So I think people abstained from giving us bad ratings.
No, we got a lot of ratings. I think you're wrong.
Okay. Here's the recent reviews since the last episode. This is from Oski Bear, 93, says, How can random conversations about nothing be so fun? Robin and Akiva cover random topics with amusing takes. Amusing is like, it's not like really.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I want some raucous laughter. I don't want to amuse.
Yeah. This is from Melina, or Mailman Cook, says, Yo-Yo Ma, highly recommended. Robin and Akiva are great together, no matter what the topic. Oh, see, they
no matter what.
Yeah. And this is from Casey Tell, 24. 2 hours you will never get back. For the best 2 hours out of your week that you will never get back, Robin Akiva Need a Podcast is the cast you should be potting. It was a positive review, but 2 hours you will never get back is
sort of a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, kind of an indictment. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Okay. I mean, I don't like it.
Yeah.
May 22nd, 98. I'm already excited okay. for next week.
All right. So get your Piazza jersey on May 22nd, 1998. Where were you? Do we want to hear from the listeners, or we're not that interested?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Give okay. us, I don't want to know where you were unless it's a podcast-worthy story. But if you see fun things that were happening on that day, definitely send them our way.
Okay.
Where should they send them?
Send them to needapodcast@robheadswebsite.com. That's also the place to send your ideas for things to be added to the wheel. needapodcast@robheadswebsite.com. Akiva is on Twitter mm-hmm. at Keeve26. Of course, we'll be covering this weekend of NFL action like nobody's business over on the 32 yep. Fans podcast.
Yes, even though I will not be watching live, it is a major Jewish holiday.
Were they they almost talked to 32 fans this preseason?
Well, were you mad that we only spoke to like 25 fans?
Well, I think that's like if this podcast where you know the whole thing is about spinning the wheel, it's like we just didn't get to spinning the wheel.
Listen, I was carrying the podcast on my back. Yes. Chester was not involved at all with the whole thing. He was busy.
Yeah.
So I had to show him who's boss and not do 32 episodes.
Yeah. Okay.
But listen, like, it's hard to find, like, fans of the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It doesn't bother me.
All right. Well, then no one's bothered.
Okay. All right. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.
Bye.